In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart, co-host South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
Fans in Boston are probably saying right about now. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Right now, coming to you on 1520 WBZW, and that's the only airwaves we're coming to you on. And if you're not listening there, hopefully you're listening on AM660TheAnswer.com, or you've downloaded the free Answer Orlando app into your smart device and didn't leave that smart device out in the rain where it got ruined yesterday, like somebody I know. So welcome to the show, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. We really do appreciate it. And we are here live, and you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. We'll be live until 8 o'clock if we ever do get back up on the big stick, as they call it around here. That's AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. We'll certainly let you know in case you'd rather listen to us there. But in the meantime, if you are listening to us now, just sit back and relax. We got a 3-hour tour lined up for you, and then Mark Walters with Armed American Radio will take you right on up to 11 o'clock. And speaking of the Rays, yeah, they're mired in a marathon baseball game that started at 1:35, and last check they were just in the bottom of the seventh inning, and so they got a ways to go yet, and then there'll be a post-game show. So as I said, just sit back and sit tight wherever you're at. And the people who I really feel sorry for, though, are the poor souls who went to that game in Boston. Did you see any of it on TV?
No, but I was listening to it on the ride here, and apparently it's pretty darn cold.
It is very cold up there, and it is damp, and it is miserable. You got people in the stands who are wearing raincoats and doing best they can to keep warm. The Rays are wearing, what do you call those things, those ski masks that cover up above your nose, a baklava or whatever,
yeah.
Right?
Balaclava.
Yeah.
Baklava is a Greek delicacy.
Okay, whichever. All right. Well,
want one of those on my forehead. They're kind of sticky.
Well, that's what's going on in Boston when that doggone thing does wrap up. And knowing the Rays, they'll probably let the Red Sox tie it in the bottom of the ninth and prolong the misery for the folks. But in the meantime, we got a full show lined up for you today. Kathy Santomassino will be in later on with some odd stories for Sunday. And Patricia, the glow girl Summerlin, is going to join us. Sunny is going to join us from probably much more, shall we say, normal weather a little bit later on, too. And so, by the way, as far as programming goes, wherever you're listening to us tonight right now, you'll have to do that again tomorrow starting at 5:30 because the Rays are playing games in Cleveland where they're going to be starting at 6 o'clock.
Fire them.
Yeah. So
come on, President. Where is President when you need him?
Fire the schedule maker, right? Why aren't those games starting at 8 o'clock instead of 6? All right. Anyway. All right. So it is what it is. In the meantime, I want to thank everyone listening who came out to the Trump Club inaugural meeting for Orange County last night. It was a success. A lot of people showed up, especially considering the fact we just had the first rain we'd had in months, right? And the rain finished up about the time the meeting was supposed to start, and it was an outdoor picnic type thing. But it was a very beautiful evening, as it turned out, and it was a picture-perfect setting right there on one of the Conway chain of lakes mm-hmm. there, and literally on the lake. I mean, you sort of parked right on the edge of the water, so to speak. And Randy Ross conducted an excellent meeting, and it was great to see. A lot of people came up to me and said they listened to the show, loved the show. So just want to thank you once again for coming out to the inaugural Trump Club. By the way, if you'd like to join the Trump Club, Orange County for Trump Club, it's easy to do. Just go to Orange County, the number 4, Trump, Orange County 4, Trump, at gmail.com. Just send an email there, say, hey, I want to join the club, and they'll sign you up. And right now they're not taking any money, but eventually they'll do that. But and they're talking about a $20 annual nominal thing, and it would just to pay for the meetings. And then I think they intend to do monthly meetings and talk about the agenda and how it's a response to the grassroots organizations that Obama and the liberals have put together. You know, his One America, what does he call his Organize for America, that group, remember? Organize for America. And they're out there, and they got these branch offices, so to speak, all over the country,
right,
where they got volunteers who do what they're attempting to do here. Well, in that case, yeah. But it's political. It's political action. I mean, in a way, you got to kind of take your hat off to it, because it is what this country is founded on, and that is people getting involved in politics, right? And we can't fault them if they're going to get out there and do it, and we don't. It's there available to do. As a matter of fact, as I was on the way to the studio today, as I do most Sundays, I stop off at a copy place and run off copy. We use an outline. We don't have a script, but we have an outline which basically has bullet points on it. This is a topic we want to hit type thing, right? And so I was there, and a fella in front of me, as we were checking out, had made a bunch of copies of a petition. And it was laying right there in front of me, and there were no signatures or anything on it. It was just a blank. I mean, it was a blank petition, but I could see what it was for. And it was for term limits for the city offices, like Orlando mm-hmm. City Council, Orlando Mayor, that sort of thing, that they should spend no more than 8 years at any one stretch in any office. And so as we were going out the door, the guy was just a few steps in front of me. So as I was going out, I said, hey, what... you know, it's kind of playing dumb. I said, hey, what's the petition about? And he told me what it was. And I could tell that let's just say it came out that he was hired to get signatures. Mm. Okay. And he also had a petition in there for, I forget what it was. And he said, that one's not getting any action. This one's getting a little action. And he gets paid about $1.50 per signature that he gets. All right. But that's way down from the election when he was getting $4 per signature for the solar amendments.
Ah.
And so it dawned on me, this guy's, he's in the business of getting signatures. And it doesn't matter what it's about.
What the petition's about. It's his job to get signatures.
Right. So then it dawned on me that, I mean, Soros is going to be out there paying protesters. Why don't we up the ante and pay for a few ourselves?
Well,
you know, if he's going to pay him $15, we'll offer him $20 to stay home, right?
Well, but you and I both know that what Obama does, or the Clintons do, or the Democrat Party does,
it's okay for them.
Is okay, but if a conservative does something. It's headline news.
I'm just saying, you know, instead of grousing all the time about how they go about doing their business, maybe we should just outdo them at their own game, right?
So what do you want to do? Start a group called White Lives Matter?
Yeah.
and go and break shop windows and turn over cars and stomp on police vehicles.
No, we would have to have the appropriate response, and that would be to go out and help old ladies across the street.
That would not get on TV. That would not raise one voice.
It would if the old lady didn't want to cross the street.
Okay.
By the way, what was that? What else was I going to say? Oh, about the Trump Club. Once again, you can join, and you don't have to be in Orange County, but they obviously, if you're in Orange County, it's all about organizing people in Orange County. But we encourage you to get after people in your own Republican executive committees in their counties, like Osceola, like Seminole, and others, to start their own Trump Club. And it is sanctioned. I mean, it is proper paperwork that's filled out through the state. So it's just not a fly-by-night organization or something like that. And by the way, Randy Ross, as I said, who organized this, was there last night. And he had his mom with him. He brought her out to the meeting last night. Yeah, I thought that was neat. And especially, of course, today being Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day, ladies.
Yeah, absolutely, to each and every one of you out there.
And all the fathers that think they are women who've had changes. Happy Mother's, happy pseudo-Mother's Day.
Yeah. It still ain't the same thing.
No.
It just is not the same thing.
No.
So
Bruce will still always be Bruce.
That's right. We got a story about him later on. We'll take up with Sonny from California. all right. It's a similar one to, we'll get to that later on. So anyway, I mean, to get back to the organization thing and the whole idea of the Trump Club, and that is to have an outlet, have a place where people who are, you know, adamant and like-minded, that they can, that they'll have a place to do something about it. And so, once again, I encourage anyone who can to join this club, or encourage your own county Republican Executive Committee to start their own club. All right, speaking of clubs, the ball clubs are still at it. As we said, we'll let you know as the game progresses. In the meantime, I hope you'll stay with us. Well, once again, we'll be here until 8 o'clock. We will be here. We are live. Aubrey Kahn. I didn't introduce ourselves.
I think everybody knows us by now.
We do have the introduction.
Especially Steve, whose home I inspected a couple of days ago.
All right. Well, hello, Steve. We appreciate you listening. That is Aubrey Kahn. I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And we will be right back with more of the American Adversaries Sunday evening, 3-hour classic tour, Mother's Day version.
The weather is heating up, and so is the Central Florida real estate market. Hi, I'm Pierce Outlaw, Vice President of Patriot Home Funding. The greatest asset a buyer has in a hot competitive market is the ability to close on time, at a great rate, and with no hassle. The home loan professionals at Patriot Home Funding are dedicated to making sure you get the best financing possible to make you the most attractive buyer possible. And if you are a seller, you need the peace of mind of knowing that your buyers are pre-approved by the most knowledgeable and experienced lender to ensure your sale closes. All it takes is one free 15-minute phone call to get your pre-approval today. Our 112 combined years of superior service and expertise will stand behind you as a buyer or seller to ensure your transaction closes on time, efficiently, with the best rate and lowest cost possible. Pick up that phone now and call Patriot Home Funding at 877-377-8123. That's 877-377-8123. Or visit us on the web at mypHF.com. That's mypHF.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, NMLS number 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. relax, and comfort. And I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and Relax and Comfort.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
And right now we are only on 1520 The Biz and AM660TheAnswer.com, but we appreciate you listening. All right, we're live. 407-774-8255 is the number. And it is now in the eighth inning, the bottom of the eighth, and the Rays are still ahead, so maybe they'll wrap this thing up in short order and get those poor folks who are trembling in the stands home and into cold, or I mean out of the cold and into warm baths, because it is a miserable day up there. And this is the middle of May.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unusual for this kind of weather to turn up at a baseball game in April, especially the first part of April.
Right.
Right? But we're in the middle of May.
Well, listen, it's all because of man-made global warming.
Right. Yes, I forgot. Yeah, that's what they would have us believe anyway.
It gets hot, so it's global warming. It gets cold, it's because global of global warming.
Right. Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. In the meantime, no, we'll just go over a couple of news stories here real quick. There was a big cyber attack. I'm sure most of you heard about it on Friday that hit hospitals in England and hit places all over the world, pretty much. It didn't seem to burn us too much, but when people go to work tomorrow, it may happen again because evidently a number of systems may have been attacked. And the people not yet know it because they haven't tried to access the system again. And so when they go to try to access the system, it may turn up again. So it may not be, may hear something about it Monday. It may not be a new cyber attack. It may be the remnants of the one that occurred Friday.
Was this due to Russian influence?
Don't know about that. James Clapper talk about it in general terms. I don't think anybody has determined yet exactly who is responsible for it. By the way, this bears once again something true that we've said on this show and President Trump has said in a number of interviews, and that is that if you don't catch the attacker in the act, it's virtually impossible to determine who it was. In some cases, maybe depending on the skill of the hacker, but if it is a really skilled hacker, no way. No way you're going to get them.
Unless you're the Democrat Party, because then you will always know it's the Russians.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that because that's a good question that I don't think anybody has yet really posed in this whole thing. It is a question that I think if people would address this question, it may make all the other questions look as stupid as they really are. And what I mean is, was there collaboration? Who was collaborating? How are they doing it? And all of that. So we're going to examine that here in just a few minutes. Excuse me. But once again, just be careful. If you haven't turned on your computer over the weekend, if you do tomorrow, North Korea has launched another missile. Evidently, this one was considered to be a success. It flew higher than normal, and it landed not too far from Russia, actually.
Yeah, but if you're doing it on the Russian border, it won't land too far from Russia.
Yeah, well, it was launched from the west coast of North Korea, and out over the in the other and heading west. So it was deemed a success, and it is, I don't believe the White House, at least when we went, by the time we went on air, I hadn't heard of any official White House response. Other than Nikki Haley was the UN, our new UN ambassador. She this morning on, I think it was Fake the Nation, or as Trump puts it, Deface the Nation. She said that they're well aware of what he's doing, that he's paranoid, and that they're just going to keep amping up the pressure on him. And so via sanctions, via proclamations, via whatever.
Well, apparently he sent a letter to the members of the House and the Senate accusing them of crimes against humanity for increased sanctions against North Korea.
Yeah, that would be Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kim Jong the Loon.
The Loon, Oon, that's right. And, of course, the wild card now in this is, he's a wild card, but there's now been another wild card introduced, and that's the new president of South Korea, a moon. You got a loon and a moon, right?
And I'm not even going there. I'm sorry.
So you got Oon, the loon, and moon. And we'll see what kind of policy comes out of that little dance, right? So, but the White House once again is they're intent on keep continuing to amp up the pressure, whether he launches missiles or not, was in essence the message that Nikki Haley was conveying today. And of course, a lot of attention is going to be on President Trump's first foreign visit, which begins this Friday, as he heads over to the Middle East. He'll land in Saudi Arabia first. He'll visit a couple of Arab countries, and then he will wrap up in Israel. He is going to visit Israel, and of course, the media will be all over that, and I'm sure they'll probably be asking the foreign leaders if they think it was right that Trump fired Comey and all wow. this other nonsense.
But he's also visiting the Vatican on this visit.
Yes, that's right.
And the Pope has said?
He's not going to try to persuade him. He's just going to sit down and listen and get to know him.
Now, what else did he have to say about walls?
Well, I don't know that he's going to lecture. He didn't say that he's going to lecture the president on them.
No.
But in the past, he has said that walls are barriers. And
again,
the
walls are not Christian.
Right.
Because we need to have openness.
Right. Even though
he is surrounded by
a big old wall.
Ah. Mr. Pope.
Which is
tear down that wall.
Which is manned by an elite guard force.
From Switzerland.
You better believe it, yeah. And they're not just there wearing fancy suits. They are the elite special ops of the Swiss military. And don't think that they don't have one. And by the way, they've got a military industrial complex too.
Yeah, there's a huge weapons cache underneath the Vatican.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm talking about Switzerland as well.
Them too. Yeah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, the Swiss, even though they were quote unquote a neutral country during World War II, they pretty much kept the Nazis armed. When we would bomb the factories over there, it didn't matter because they were getting their munitions, many of them, from factories in Switzerland. Did you know that?
I was not aware of that.
Artillery shells, bombs, bullets, things like that were coming out of Switzerland.
There you go.
And, of course, we wouldn't bomb them because even though our generals knew what was going on because it was, quote-unquote, neutral country. Right. But some of the generals did want to bomb them. And the politicians wouldn't let them. They were saying, you know, look, you know, they're killing our guys with this stuff. We're fighting a war. We've bombed their factories into dust, and yet they're still, you know, fighting effectively.
Well, you see, nothing's changed. The politicians are still wrapping chains around our military.
Until now.
Well, we haven't seen what he's going to do yet.
Well, I think he's...
But, you know, we're not allowed to shoot enemy combatants, if they're near any civilians, and that kind of BS.
Well, I know that the rules of engagement have changed. I just do not know how much they have changed. Maybe we'll find out tomorrow night. Colonel Danny McKnight is going to be on the show with us.
I thought you were referring to the baseball game.
Yeah, right. And once again, we'll let you know when that wraps up. And then, of course, they're going to have a post-game show. So it's going to be a while before we're up on the big stick. But if you're listening now, that's not going to be a problem for you. Our own little Stephanie Murphy. She was on CNN this morning. You know, Steph Murphy, who won the district over here from John Micah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, she was on CNN talking about the Comey affair and the Russian tampering and all this and that. And, she was all so serious. And while she had security clearance, she worked in the Pentagon, you know. So she's an authority on this. And she said that there should be legislation passed. Get this. This is obviously she's a rookie, right? There should be legislation passed so that there will be an independent council to investigate this whole matter. Okay.
Mm.
Legislation passed. Let's see. What's that going to involve? Let's see. The Republicans control both the House and the Senate. She's demanding that they pass the legislation that then the president
will sign.
So it would have to be passed with veto-proof majorities in both the House and the Senate. This is beyond ridiculous. It's absurd. And what may be even more absurd is nobody has examined, and we will start doing it more so tonight, but nobody has examined at all the central question in this whole thing, the thing that the whole mess is all built upon, nobody has questioned at all. So we're going to show how it is nothing but a little house of cards that you have everything standing on top of, waiting to come crashing down when somebody pokes their finger in it. That's what we're going to do starting tonight, right here when we come back from this short break.
Going to do the hokey pokey.
They're going to do it.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. An executive at a cybersecurity firm that helped block a global ransomware attack says new variations of the malicious worm are circulating and researchers expect one to develop that can't be stopped. Ryan Kalimber, senior vice president at Proofpoint, Inc., says that millions of devices could be vulnerable if they haven't applied security patches over the weekend. He says if a new variant without a so-called kill switch pops up, then organizations will be on their own to prevent it from taking over their computers. The Senate's top Democrat raising the possibility that his party may try to stall President Trump's FBI nominee until his administration agrees to have a special prosecutor investigate Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. The threat from New York Senator Chuck Schumer is more fallout from President Trump's firing last week of FBI Director James Comey. This is SRN News.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself. At Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. $64.99. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We really do appreciate you being out there. Once again, we're here live on 1520 WBZW and AM660TheAnswer.com. Aubrey Kahn and myself, Christopher Hart, Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. We will be here until 8 o'clock, and if and when we go back up on the big stick, we'll certainly let you know when that will be. Okay, so Stephanie Murphy was on CNN this morning as one of the analysts, one of the talking heads, which is a little bit unusual. It's not entirely unheard of to have a sitting congressperson as one of the analysts, you know, on the panel,
right?
Not there to be interviewed per se. Okay, she was on the panel of expert analysis. This was on Jake Tapper's show, and by the way, Clapper was on Tapper too. We're going to talk about that in a little while. Clapper on Tapper. So, and I'm sure a lot of people will be talking, and already are, according to what I see on Twitter, about Clapper on Tapper. The Dems once again think they have the goods on Trump. So, but anyway, Stephanie Murphy on Tapper's show, as I said, she was on the panel of experts, and he made it, you know, made sure he pointed out that she worked at the Pentagon, and she made sure to point it out that she had had high security clearance. So,
what was it that she did at the Pentagon, by the way?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Even the people that clean it have clearance.
Well, she was in the military. And she might have taken
guard duty.
Don't know what she had, but she was able to parlay that into some votes. A lot of people, you know, they hear veteran and they think, oh, you know, I got to vote for them, whatever. But anyway, even though John Michael was a veteran too, but she's prettier than him. I guess maybe that's why she got elected. No, she got elected because she's a liberal, and they gerrymandered that district now with those liberal judges so that it's much more liberal leaning. But anyway, she was on there, and once again, she was claiming that this was all wrong, that there's a cover-up going on, and all this other nonsense, and we have to have an independent counsel, and there's no... Now, first of all, there is... And I tweeted this out the other day in response to some other... I think it was some news media type, and it was... there is no such thing, especially in Washington, D.C., as an independent anything, right? I mean, it's all partisan politics.
Right.
Even the so-called independents, like Bernie Sanders, are partisan politicians from the get-go.
Yep.
And it's no coincidence that even though it's been joked about by some conservative talking heads, and it, for every good reason, that Bernie Sanders is the most popular Democrat right now. He's an independent, but he's the most popular Democrat. It's because the public is wise, okay? He can call himself what he wants, but they know he's a dyed-in-the-wool liberal like the other politicians on the Democrat side right now.
Right.
So they put him in that same category, and they're smarter than the politicians. So it is there's no such thing. None, zip, zero. If you're out there thinking, well, maybe they should go ahead and do an independent counsel because then they'll be able to clear this all up and there won't be any questions about BS. BS.
It'll get buried under the
council. It'll get worse. The partisanship will get worse. It never gets better. And it always is going to have a negative outcome. And seldom does it have... the outcome have anything to do with what started the probe in the first place. Speaking of probes, take, for instance, Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, right? That whole thing had nothing to do with what that investigation started over. Nothing. It was all about Whitewater and the White House scandals, the firing of the travel office and all that stuff. It had nothing to do with Monica Lewinsky and the dress and the cigars and all that other sordid business that came out. You see? But that's where it ended up. And that's what the impeachment charges were based upon. Him lying
under oath
about having sex with an intern and covering it up. And so, and then you look at the thing with the outing of Valerie Plame. You remember how big a deal was made, by the way, of the outing of Valerie Plame, who was no longer in the field as a CIA agent. She was back here in the United States, although it's still against the law to do that. But guess what? It's also against the law to out Michael Flynn, right? Boy, they were all animated about how wrong it was, and they didn't have a special counsel set up to go after the leaker. Who was it? And they knew all along. They found out, a special counsel found out pretty much right away who had done it. It was that doofus named Richard Armitage, who was the Assistant Secretary of State.
Yep.
And they found out pretty much right away. But they also caught Scooter Libby either confused or lying, trying to protect someone maybe in his mind. And there's where the investigation went. And Scooter Libby, even though he had nothing to do with Valerie Plame and all that other nonsense that it started over, he's the one who ended up taking the fall and going to jail. And he did go to jail.
Yep.
Right? So it's just absolutely absurd to think that an independent... See, the reason the Democrats want an independent counsel... It's because they will have more control over the process than they have now.
And they can dig in other directions.
Right, exactly. And they can keep this thing alive that much longer. Because the independent counsel, he will want to do it his way, and he will want to start all over from the very beginning. Let's go back to the drawing board. And that's exactly what the Democrats want. They want to draw this out. They will draw this out as long as Trump passed. As long as Trump is president of the United States, they're going to be preaching this storyline. And it's going to be tied to a couple of other storylines. We're going to get to that here in a minute because they've been using this phrase all day long now that we're under assault. Under assault. Okay? Our democratic institutions are under assault. All right? And as Clapper said on Tapper this morning, we're under assault both externally and internally. Yep. And when asked by Jake Boy, do you mean the Trump administration, he said yes.
Well, if I ask you, do you mean the Democrat Party, you'd also say yes.
And
it depends on which side of the fence you're sitting on.
Therein is part of the rub, okay? Because, see, what they're doing is they are giving us a taste of our medicine, all right? Because what they have done is, if you look at some of their attacks, they do resemble attacks on Obama, okay? He's impeachable because he's violating the Constitution. Remember that? Now, we never said that on this show because I never thought Barack Obama, quote-unquote, violated the Constitution. Now, he pushed to the limit executive power and executive authority. And if there was ever any case where he came close, it was that oil thing where the judge ordered him to do something with oil, and he basically told the judge to stick it. Do you remember that? I forget the details. I think it had to do with that BP oil spill.
Not clear on it.
All right, a judge ordered something, and he just went against it. But that was the only thing. Everything else he did was testing the authority of the executive branch of our government. And Trump's doing the same thing. But you had a lot of conservatives out there saying, impeach him, impeach him, impeach him. What's Maxine Waters out there screaming?
Yeah, the same thing.
Right, exactly. So they're, in their minds, giving us what they got from us toward Obama, right? And the fundamentally changing America. He's in America. He's trashing the Constitution. Our institutions are under assault. I don't know that we ever put it that way exactly, but I know that a lot of the consensus was. Barack Obama is purposely trying to destroy the United States of America. And there was that theme out there a lot. And so they're giving that back, right? So don't get caught up in it.
No.
But see, when they say it, they think it's true, right?
Well, they've got when the media said, backing them up as well.
Right. And, of course, they're the ones driving the storyline.
Right.
They're like we say in professional wrestling, you have the announcers. And without the announcers, it's hard to really understand what's going on in the ring if you don't already have knowledge of it, right. You see? So it's just the action in the ring. There's no context. The announcers put everything in context. The media puts everything in context. Their context. The context that they want you living in. You see? And if you get caught up in all of that, then you're falling into that trap. Right? So I don't think I ever called for Barack Obama to be impeached. Because I never saw anything that would up, you know, was impeachable offense. You're talking about high crimes and misdemeanors.
Right, exactly.
And I don't see where either president has even come close to that. But see, that's what's driving part of this narrative, you see? And they feel like, well, it worked against Obama. It'll work against Trump. We'll see. We'll take a break and come back and continue the conversation. I hope you'll be with us. This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort, and I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in the Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Hey, y'all, this is Sam Houston, professional wrestler. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute of your time and say, hey, if you need to get up to date on your views and issues and everything else, listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660. The Answer. These guys got it going on. Trust me.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, we're here, we're live. The baseball game, talking about got it going on. The baseball game has still got it going on. They're in the ninth inning. The Rays are still ahead, but it is dragging on. And once again, there'll be a post-game show, so it's still going to be a while. So just sit back and enjoy. Aubrey Kahn, Christopher Hart here. Jeff sent us on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, we're talking about all this business with the Democrats and their attacks on President Trump, and they are using some of the same attacks that Republicans and conservatives used against Barack Obama. And politics is a lot tit for tat, you know, that sort of thing. And it's also, you know, the Democrats saw that it worked. And or at least they think that that's what worked. I think they're reading it wrong, but we shall see. And by the way, there were some poll numbers that have come out, and Wall Street Journal polls, and they're damning polls for Donald Trump. But basically, they show his approval ratings stand pretty much the same. Most people either don't know or think he did the right thing about the firing, although they highlight the number that said he did the wrong thing, because it seems to be the larger number if you don't combine the don't know and he did the right thing. Most people don't care about the Comey firing. They presume that the president had the authority to do it, and he did. And his base is absolutely not deserting him. They are sticking strong and solid. And it's a reporter, Charlie Sykes. I don't know if you remember Charlie Sykes, but he was a radio host up there in Wisconsin and a conservative radio host. I don't believe he still is on that station. Now he's being hailed by liberals, the conservative radio show host being hailed by liberals, because he has criticized the likes of us and others. When I say us, I mean the American Adversaries radio show. He calls us anti-Trumpers. In other words, anyone who's anti-Trump, we're going to be against them. And therefore, we've thrown conservative principles to the wind. We don't care about any of this. It's all about just being against those who are against Trump. And there's an element of that. I mean, the Democrats are hailing this as so it's some sort of great revelation. But we've been talking about how politics is like professional wrestling for a long time. And if someone attacks your champion, you hate them that much more. It's simple, you know, human nature, you know, and they think they've come across some great revelation. Oh, my God. You know, if you're anti their guy, they're going to be anti you. Duh. Mm-hmm. Wow. You figured that out now, did you? Wow, man, you are really something else, ain't you? Yeah, I mean, that's the way politics works. That's why you hear politicians constantly using words like, I'm your champion. I'm fighting for you. I'm there. I'm your voice. You see? They're making that personal connection. That's why Donald Trump is president of the United States. He made that connection. Hillary Clinton tried. How many times do we hear her say, I'm the champion of this or that group? I'm the champion. I'm your champion. She's trying to make that emotional connection. She lost because she couldn't make the emotional connection. Trump could and did and still does, right? And the media think that they're so smart and so advanced in intellect over all us doofuses out here, right? And they get frustrated when all us doofuses, you know, just don't come along the way they want us to. And so they attack our champions as proxies for us. You must understand, and I've said this on the show before, and I'm now hearing others say it, but once again, that's why we're the voice to be reckoned with, because we're usually out front on stuff like this. But as I've said on the show a number of times before, they used George W. Bush, they used Ronald Reagan, they used George H.W. Bush, they're using Donald Trump as a proxy to get all of us. What they want to do with Trump especially, Trump, and this is something that came from the Republican source to a liberal the talking head in the news. They are scared by Trump. He frightens them because they don't know what he's going to do next.
Right, he's unpredictable because he doesn't follow the political pathway.
What's another word for unpredictable, or let's just say a synonym, if you will, in a situation like this? Maybe uncontrollable?
Or independent?
Uncontrollable, mm-hmm. Right? They cannot control him. They don't. He doesn't play by the same rules as all the Bushes and everybody else.
Right.
He plays by his own set of rules, you see, and they can't control that, and that frightens them. They don't know how to deal with that, you see.
That's
they're scared.
Fine. That's good for me.
They're scared, or at least they're expressing fear. If the Republicans are smart, they will keep their nose to the grindstone and not get drawn into all this. Laugh it off. I mean, Susan Collins has this habit, which it's annoying if it's going against you, but you love it when it's going the other way. And that is to smile when she says everything. And if she's saying stuff you don't like, it's really annoying, right? It's that Maine, that Maine upbringing, I guess. And then you get that Maine drawl with it. So if she's saying stuff you don't like, I mean, it really kind of, it's like the fingernails on the chalkboard kind of thing. But if you like what she's saying, it sounds like orchestral music. And she has, in essence, been laughing off this stuff about Comey. She just kind of smiles and kind of giggles laughs. No, we don't need an independent counsel right now. Shucks, you know. And Lindsey Graham, kind of the same way. Just more or less, that's the approach. You don't. Well, yes, I'm concerned too. This is unprecedented here. You go, look, you people who said you lost confidence in him, you're the ones who were asking him to resign. You're now all upset about his firing. Come on, you're kidding. Ah, come on. You laugh in your face. You make them feel like the little weasels and buffoons that they are. You don't give them import by giving in to their concerns. Just because the media has a concern doesn't mean that it's legitimate or valid. It usually means that it's nothing but horse manure, right? And but no, there's three. Oh yeah, ooh, wah, you know, this we got to keep an eye on this. And you got a few of them out there. Yeah, maybe it would be. I'm talking about Republicans. Yeah, maybe it would be a good idea to have an independent counsel. Why? You know, then there would be no questions. And then you get this naive, you know, fairy tale that out there, there's some the name escapes me right now. Who is the judge in the Bible? Solomon. Yeah, there's out there some Judge Solomon out there. You're going to round him up. And then not only is the judge going to be Solomon, but all his staff too. And there will be no political. This is nonsense. And they need, and people need to be laughed at when they bring this particular form of crap up, and yet, and you got this, you know, from the Republicans, you know, Senator Burr, I'm concerned about this, you know, Comey is a how did he put it, I tweeted back, high he was giving high praise. Let's put it back. And I shot back, no, low praise. And that was before I was aware of this. And I'm going to be tweeting about this a little bit tonight and tomorrow, too. 20 years ago, James Comey was an attorney on the Senate Whitewater investigation. And they were looking into the conduct of Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. Of course, you know, the Whitewater, the Rose Law Firm, billing records, all that stuff, right?
Yep.
All right, and the McDougals. Remember Susan McDougal went to jail for how many years because she wasn't going to talk?
Right.
But see, we that was pretty smart because she's still alive, right? Everybody else who talked is dead.
Well, they died before they could talk.
Yeah, and for the most part, they did. And
they committed suicide with three bullets to the back of their head.
In other odd ways. The investigation was obviously, as we just said, if you remember, Hillary Clinton was caught red-handed with those Rose billing law firms, which had been subpoenaed. They were found in her personal quarters with her and Vince Foster's fingerprints on them, right? Now, Comey's in the middle of all this. As a matter of fact, he was at the time the assistant to the he was the deputy special counsel. So he was the deputy to the special counsel, who was the top dog. So he's right up there in the investigation, right? So
with the Ken Stars and right. All the rest of them.
So they're finding this stuff on the Clintons. Well, did Hillary Clinton ever get indicted? Did anything ever happen to Hillary Clinton back then? Oh, no, it didn't. But then he went on, this was later on, that he investigated the pardons of Mark Rich and others that Bill Clinton issued as he was heading out the door. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mark Rich was a fugitive who had who had been convicted of illegally conducting business with people we had sanctions against, including Iran. And he had been on the lam for a while and finally got rounded up. And he was in prison, and he was a big contributor to guess who? Oh, yeah. His wife donated, Mark Rich's wife, donated $450,000 to the Clinton Library. James Comey oversaw that matter and once again did not charge or, you know, say that there was, I guess there was no intent. Maybe he didn't find any intent. So his record of looking into investigating Clinton wrongdoings and letting them skate and letting them skate on it. And by the way, this was confirmed on by ABC News. So this is not just something out of the internet. This is valid and it's easy to check, right? And so his political contacts and his he was in a position back then just like he was in the FBI. And that is, if you're a mobster and you want to buy somebody off and say it's going to be good for your business if you buy them off, are you going to go for the beat cop or are you going to go for the police commissioner? You're going to buy off the commissioner, right?
Every time.
This guy, somebody needs to check into his bank accounts. And I'm talking about one James Comey, right?
Well, he might commit suicide before he could talk.
he better get him some security.
Protection.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Warren is on the line. We'll take his phone call, so please stay with us.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart, co-host South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
We've got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life. This is our song. We'll fight the vows of features. Don't pick our destiny cause. You don't know us. You don't belong. We're not gonna take it. Hello, we ain't gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore. No way.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to us on 1520 WBZW and AM660TheAnswer.com or on your smart device. We really do appreciate that. The Rays are really putting it to the Red Sox now. It's still in the ninth inning. They're wailing them 11-2 at last count. And by the time they finish this game, I don't think there are going to be any fans in the stands given the score and the temperature up there, right? They're still going to have to finish it out, play the bottom of the ninth, and then they'll have a post-game show. So once again, wherever you're listening, stay right there. If we do go back up on the big stick anytime soon, we'll certainly let you know. 407-774-8255 is the number. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. I am Christopher Hart along with Aubrey Kahn, and we wish all of you mamas out there a happy Mother's Day and more power to you. And this hour of the show, we're going to be talking about the liberals' three-headed beast, and that is their three-pronged attack on President Trump, where it came from, and get used to it because it ain't going away. It is not going away.
And I thought it was Bill Hillary and Chelsea.
You dirty thing, you. All right, we're also going to be talking about James Clapper on Jake Tapper. And we're going to be talking about what did, after all, the Russians do?
Exposed the Democrat Party.
They did. They did that, you know, and if their intent was to undermine, to set off the forces, and this is the best explanation I've heard about what they did, but it doesn't address how they did it. That the effect was, and this is what the KGB and intent was, because they act in a subtle way. It's not the real act wasn't what they did. It was what they got us to do. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
They were the catalyst. They just tried to be the catalyst to set off political forces in our own country that would be detrimental to our own processes. And I ask you, have they done that? With the cooperation of the media and the liberals? Oh, hell yes, they've done it.
Yeah, for the last 50 years.
Well, but even more so now. What I'm talking about is if they tampered around with this election with the intent to undermine the results of the election, and by going about it by getting our own political parties to question it, then they were successful. Because the Democrats have done nothing since Trump won the election, but to try to undermine the results of the election. In other words, undermine our democratic institutions.
Well, because the Queen was supposed to be in charge now.
Yeah, but you're missing the point. It doesn't matter. What matters to the Russians is, if they were successful in what they were trying to do, is that they got what they used to call the useful idiots in the media over here, along with the Democrats, for their political partisan reasons to attack the election process itself and question the outcome of it. And that's what they're doing. So the Russians were successful in putting the useful idiots to work.
They did that in the years before Obama as well. Look what they did with the Bush elections.
But not as effectively as they're going about it now, because the media and the liberals weren't as drawn in as much as partisan as much as they are now.
Which is true as well. But the Russians have been in collusion with the Democrats for years.
Well, I don't think it's collusion. The Russians would laugh and say, we're in collusion with those bunch of buffoons? What do you think of us?
All right, let me rephrase. The Democrats have been in collusion with the Russians.
No, I wouldn't put it that way either. No. The Democrats think they're outsmarting everybody. The Russians know they're smarter than the Democrats and would never be seen in the same, let's just say, endeavor. What they are doing is they are using the stupidity of the Democrats and the media to do their bidding for them. All they had to do was give it a little nudge. Because when you think about it, what did, after all, the Russians do? What did they do? They collaborate. What do you mean? Oh, they tampered. What do you mean? What does tamper mean? How did they tamper in our elections? How? How did they do it? We know that, yes, they tried to hack into two or three voting places and were unsuccessful.
Right.
We know that they tried to hack into the Republican Party and they were unsuccessful.
Correct.
Right? So what, after all, did they do? The only thing that you can say they did is they didn't even hack into it because the password was given up. They accessed the DNC. And when the DNC was told about it and warned about it and offered help to prevent it from happening again, they turned it down. Right? So if the Russians did anything, it was with the tacit approval of the DNC. Maybe there was collaboration, but it was a collaboration to release their own information. This is what I mean. The Russians just sort of poked it a little bit and didn't have to do much else because the Democrats gave up all their information and then kept giving it up even after they knew it was being compromised. You see? This is what I mean when I say the Russians are using the stupid idiots for what they are. They're useful idiots. That's what Lennon said. They're useful idiots. The people in the media, the people in the kids in the streets who don't know any better, the academicians, they're all useful idiots. Useful idiots. And that's the way they approach the whole world, you see. And then and they look at the United States and they go, hell yeah, there's plenty of useful idiots over there. Right? All we got to do is get them to do our work for us. And that's exactly what's happening right in front of our very eyes. This whole thing with Comey. Our institutions are under assault. Yeah, by you fools. You know, if I were a Democrat radio talk show host, I'd be saying the same thing I said 6 years ago on this show, only from their side. Oh, ye of little faith. We have a constitution that was set up for situations just like this. And if it does not survive, then it was never worth the paper it was written on to begin with. If it doesn't survive the situations, the very situations it was designed for, then what good is it? But it will survive. And it will do just fine, thank you very much. Because right. It was designed for situations just like this. It was divinely inspired. Because it's based on human nature, which is divinely instilled. And so if the Russians did anything, and by the way, Martha Raddatz kind of admitted it this morning. They had their little round table, you know, Georgie Porgy mm-hmm. Stephanopoulos, and they were going around about what the Russians did, and she was going, yeah, and the Russians were tampering, and they hacked into the DNC. And that's all that they did. If they did that, like I said, it wasn't a hack. They were pretty much putting the information out on the street like a whore. You know, a whore walking down the street with her cheeks hanging out. It's like, here it is, come and get it, right? It takes very little effort, in other words, to obtain it. Okay? You get the picture? Let's go
loud
to Warren.
Loud and clear, unfortunately.
Let's go to Warren. Warren, did you get the picture?
Oh, I think so. Am I on?
You are.
Yeah.
You are indeed.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think you and I were reading the same article about Comey.
Yeah. Yeah, just stumbled on it.
Well, you left out one little thing was Hillary's brother who was pardoned. He had a $200,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Comey was looking into all the pardons.
But there was another nice little scandal, or if you call it a scandal. Comey was the prosecutor for Martha Stewart.
Yeah, that's right.
The insider trading.
Right.
I mean, insider trading, that sort of inside information is shared among all of the politicians, mostly the...
And you know what? A lot of that insider trading, and according to Martha Stewart, you know what her defense was? If I did it, I didn't mean to. In other words, there was no intent. There was no intent.
But
don't you see the irony here? She said, I didn't mean to do it. If I did it, I didn't know, and I didn't mean to do it. And that was the... But that's why he let Hillary Clinton go. She didn't mean to do it.
Well, yeah. She was slammed against the wall and ended up sending, 6 months, I think, in jail.
Yeah. Because she lied. She evidently lied.
No.
Right. Right.
Peccadillo, like that is nothing compared to the Clintons.
Well, how many times have the Clintons lied?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's easier to find out how often they told the truth.
Yeah, that's right. Because there's a lot less times. Go ahead.
I wanted to put in a little bit about my feelings about Trey Gowdy as a
FBI
replacement.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good idea.
I don't either. What's your reason?
Well, we need him he's about the only theatrics we've got, and people watch and listen, either on C-SPAN or watch the news where it's allowed to see him slam these dorks up against the wall.
Yeah, I think he's right where he needs to be. In Congress, and now he is the deputy on that House Intel committee that what's his name stepped down from. I already forgot his name. Heaven for
heaven's
sake.
Well, he should be able to move up
Yeah, yeah.
To chairman because Chaffetz is leaving.
Right. Yeah, so, that's right. So,
I feel bad about that, too,
yeah,
because
plus,
Chaffetz is good, too.
Yeah, but I tell you, he'll be back. As a matter of fact, I think there are rumors that he's leaving the House to run for either the governor or the Senate in Utah. I forget which.
I remember he took out a domain name, something about Chaffetz for Senate.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah.
Okay. Okay, great show today.
All right, appreciate you, Warren. Thanks for being out
Take
there.
Care.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
You too.
Bye.
Comey's had his hand in a lot of things, and the Martha Stewart's just sort of a side note, a tidbit, but this stuff with the pardons and all of that, once again, it's that same, you know, the Clinton's up to no good, he's in a position to know what's going on, and he's in a position to recommend whether they should be indicted or not. And he lets them go.
Always.
So
he's got a history of it.
Right. Yeah, so maybe they got some history on him. Like you said, maybe he needs to be looking over his shoulders now. As tall as he is, he's got a pretty good perspective on things. So I want to get to Clapper on Tapper today, because once again, that's going to be a lot of the talking points during the week, I would imagine. He once again said he had no official knowledge of any investigation that the FBI was conducting or any of the he tried to downplay his role in government and what he knew or didn't know in terms of an investigation going on into Russian collaboration. Okay. And he's trying to be coy about what he knows, by saying what he doesn't know, and what he doesn't know really doesn't matter because it's what he knows that really matters. And what he knows is he was in a position to know pretty much everything that was going on. I'll tell you what I mean when we come back. You're listening to the American Adversaries, and we'll be back with more of our 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour.
Weather is heating up, and so is the Central Florida real estate market. Hi, I'm Pierce Outlaw, Vice President of Patriot Home Funding. The greatest asset a buyer has in a hot competitive market is the ability to close on time, at a great rate, and with no hassle. The home loan professionals at Patriot Home Funding are dedicated to making sure you get the best financing possible to make you the most attractive buyer possible. And if you are a seller, you need the peace of mind of knowing that your buyers are pre-approved by the most knowledgeable and experienced lender to ensure your sale closes. All it takes is one free 15-minute phone call to get your pre-approval today. Our 112 combined years of superior service and expertise will stand behind you as a buyer or seller to ensure your transaction closes on time, efficiently, with the best rate, and lowest cost possible. Pick up that phone now and call Patriot Home Funding at 877-377-8123. That's 877-377-8123. Or visit us on the web at mypHF.com. That's mypHF.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, NMLS number 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort. And I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax in Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same. Soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
Hi, this is Roxy Astor from Glow, one of the Park Avenue knockouts. When I'm not shopping or getting my nails done, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, WORL. These guys are the best when it comes to political professional wrestling. I'd step in the ring any day with these guys, but of course I'd win.
Okay, welcome back to the show. That's right, you're here with us live, and the game is over. The Rays did win, and now they'll go through the post game, and so it's going to still be a little while, but when we do go back up on the big stick, we'll let you know. Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number. Aubrey Kahn is here with me tonight, Christopher Hart, along with you. We really appreciate you being out there. Just a couple of other words about James Clapper on Jake Tapper this morning. Clapper said that, once again, that he had no official knowledge of any investigation and no official knowledge of any collusion going on. And then went on to say, but I wouldn't necessarily be in a position to know anything about that. Now, this guy was the head of the National Intelligence Agency, right? If he didn't know what was going on, either he wasn't doing his job or there wasn't anything going on. They were in a position, in other words, to see it, right? Anything the FBI would be investigating, they wouldn't know. They would be watching real damn time,
mm-hmm.
right, as it's happening.
Right.
So for this guy, well, I didn't know if there's investigation. So big deal. If you didn't know if there's FBI investigation going on, you were in a position to see, was there any collusion going on? Did you see any?
I didn't know anything about any collusion.
So then we have testimony from someone who is in a position to see if it was there, and he didn't see it. In other words, he's like an eyewitness. It's like you've been accused of a crime.
Right.
And you call an eyewitness to the stand. Were you watching that night? Were you in a position to see what happened? Yes, I was the DIA or NIA or whatever the heck he was. Did you see anything? Well, no, I didn't see anything happen at all. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. But you were in a position to see. You were watching, right? Yes, I was doing my job. And you didn't see anything happen. Nothing happened, right? No. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. But wait a minute. You were there watching. You could see if it was happening. You did not see it happen, right? No. But that doesn't mean, you see what he's doing here?
Yeah.
He was in the position. He would know if there was any of this stuff going on. And if he didn't see it and it didn't go on, then so what if the FBI, they're barking up an empty tree. And he could end the whole thing. He can save them all the time and trouble. But see, he's a political hack, too.
Yeah.
Right? And then he goes, and I'm worried about our institutions. Our institutions are our political institutions. No, they always say our democratic institutions are under assault. That's, once again, that's the phraseology of the day. Under assault, both externally and, yes, Jake, internally, too. You mean by the Trump administration? Yes, I do. I mean by the Trump administration. And the guy never really looks the interviewer in the eye when he's in the studio with them. He's looking down, you know, and that's a sign of a lying SOB, right? Somebody who can't look you in the eye, right? Their eyes are darting away
right.
And stuff like that. And see, he knows there was no collaboration. Because he was in a position to see, and he didn't see any of it. So he knows it didn't happen. And yet, he's being all coy about it.
Well, I didn't see it, but I didn't know.
And by the way, the so-called 17 agencies, intelligence agencies, who all have concluded the Russians did try to tamper. That's three. Three. Three of 17 agencies.
Well, it's a
right?
good start.
And right? what you want to bet those three were CIA, John Brennan, political yeah. hack.
FBI.
FBI, James Comey, political hack, and NIA, James Clapper, political hack or alien, judging by his skull. That guy's got one huge skull, buddy. He reminds me of Porky Pig, you know, with that big old skull, you know. All right, and the ears that poke out sideways, kind of. But he is, I mean, if anybody, once again, they're doing, and he's supposedly in a position to know better, that he's doing the Russians' bidding for them, right? Right? What did the Russians do after all? Nothing.
They accessed the DNC, which, like I said, was standing there with the door wide open for anybody to get it.
Yes, but you know, if they had been totally honest, they wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And Hillary's emails would have been safe on the unsecured.
Right. So ultimately, if the Russians did affect the outcome of the election, it is because they revealed, and we don't know for sure that they did, but they revealed all those WikiLeaks things that we got, which were nothing more nor less than DNC, John Podesta, Huma Abedin.
Their
actual emails that no one has ever denied the accuracy of. And that's, in other words, hearing them talk amongst each other in their own words, that's what affected the outcome of the election.
Right.
Then they're the ones who are responsible for their own actions.
It was the exposing of the hypocrisy and the racism of the Democrat Party itself.
And their unwillingness to work with the FBI to prevent it from happening because they were afraid of what the FBI would see. So they got, you know, they got what was coming to them. But once again, that's not going to stop them from the scripted storylines, which is where I want to go to next. You know, I've been talking about the absurdity of it all, but that doesn't matter when it comes to the scripted storyline and the three-headed beast. And yeah, there is the three-headed beast of the Clintons, and really you could say the Obamas and Valerie Jarrett too, but that's not what I'm talking about. When I say the three-headed beast, I mean their scripted storylines, their three themes, okay, and where the themes came from and why they're going to stay. They're not going away. It does not matter how good or bad the president, Donald Trump, is. These three themes are going to be carried throughout his administration, no matter how long it lasts. So just buckle up and get ready for it, and be ready to dismiss it or tolerate it or attack it, however you want to go about it. But I'm going to tell you tonight, and we've gone over these before. If you listen consistently to the show, you won't be surprised. But once again, I'm going to reiterate what the three-headed beast is. But first, we'll go to the phone lines. Roger, you're up next. Thanks for calling tonight.
Hey, Christopher.
How you doing?
Great show. So much going on this past week. I missed you last week. So
okay.
I hope I can keep all my thoughts straight and separate.
Okay,
go ahead. First, I want to wish all our Christian moms a very happy and blessed Mother's Day.
Yep.
And let's see, where we start with Flapper Clapper. We can't really depend on or trust anything he said. I think he was convicted of perjury just a little while back, wasn't he?
He was the one who said that lying to Congress was the least painful option. I think he put it the least troubling option, something like that. But yeah, he lied to Congress. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Lied to Congress. So that's basically perjury.
Yeah.
I mean, in my way of thinking. Okay. Anyway, Comey. Yeah. My way of thinking there. He's traitorous to his oath that he took by things that he said and did or didn't do.
Well, in fact,
example, Hillary and the server.
Yeah.
And as far as the server, the Russians, that's all they had to do was hack her server, and they got all the emails that went to a wiener boy. So they got everything they wanted, right?
Exactly. And they made it easy. The DNC made it easy. She made it easy.
Absolutely.
Right? So you're absolutely right about that. And by the way, he broke the law. James Comey, aside of the fact that he may have let them off the hook for breaking the law, he broke the law himself when he came out with that press conference on July 5th of last year. And that was noted in the memo that Rosenstein wrote. And Joe Dvedinova, last night, the first time I've ever heard anybody else other than me say he actually broke a federal law. He didn't say which one it was, the Privacy Act, but he said he broke federal law in that interview. Thanks a lot, Roger. We'll be right back. Stay with us if you want. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Britain's National Cybersecurity Center has joined others in warning that more cases of ransomware attacks may come to light as a new work week starts Monday. The organization predicts that the problem could be at a significant scale because some infected machines have not yet been detected and existing infections can spread within networks. The Trump administration seems to be throwing cold water for now on the idea of talks with North Korea. A top North Korean diplomat had said on Saturday, a day before the latest missile test from the North, that her country would be willing to meet with the Trump administration for negotiations if the conditions are set. France's new president has made his first visit after his inauguration to a military hospital in a Paris suburb. Emmanuel Macron's team says that he went to Percy Hospital to meet with soldiers wounded in combat. This is SRN News.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Hey, this is Johnny B. Badd, the Bad Man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, speaking of great guys, we got Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections, in the studio with us tonight. Of course, he is the co-host on the Sunday Night Show, and he is the Firm Foundation of the American Adversaries. He's been sponsoring the show now over 4 years.
Yeah.
And he's been a great sponsor, and he's been there through thick and thin. And
Definitely mostly thick nowadays.
I guess I'd be the thin version, right?
Right.
And But Aubrey's a great friend and a great sponsor, and we're really fortunate to have him. And if you have a home that you need to be inspected because you're buying or selling, or maybe you've just had a new roof put on your house, Aubrey's the guy to talk to. He can get you that wind mitigation survey and the paperwork done so you can get a discount on your homeowner's insurance.
Right. And folks, please, if you want it done and you want to do it in the next day or two, please go to my website at orlandoshomeinspector.com. Because my phone got wet yesterday.
Oh, that's right. I was just getting ready to give the phone number out.
And so I want to give a shout out to Steve, one of our listeners.
Hey.
Steve, thanks for being a loyal listener. And I must say, you keep a beautiful home and it's well maintained. I inspected his home for a potential buyer a few days ago. And Steve, I left a couple of papers there, and I know you're aware of that. But I can't phone you because your phone number was texted to me on my cell phone.
Oh.
And so I can't get hold of you. If you could be so kind as to take photos of those pages and email them to me, my email is on my business card, I would really, really appreciate it.
All right. All right. So that's
the sales pitch for this section of the program.
All right. So for now, get a hold of Aubrey Kahn at his website, orlandoshomeinspector.com. Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number. I am Christopher Hart, and Frank is on the line. Let's take his phone call. He wants to talk about, the FISA court. Frank, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Howdy, howdy.
All right.
Hey, Aubrey, I got in a swimming pool with my phone one time.
Well,
it's in my pocket, all right?
I left mine in the rain.
All right. Now, don't listen to the idiots that tell you to put it in a bag of rice. That rice, the rice isn't going to do nothing.
Okay? Not when it's that soaked. No, no.
I was in the swimming pool for like 20 minutes and realized, oh, my God, my phone's in my pocket.
Oh, oops. Man.
Just leave it sit out, and it will dry out, and it'll come back. Okay?
Trust there you go.
Now, right. I can't afford to have it lying out for another couple of days.
That I understand that. I mean, you're stuck as far as that goes, but
right.
it will come back. Just leave it sitting. Meanwhile, you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, I'm sending it back. They're sending me another one.
All right. Well, there you go. There you go. That'll
work. Before I mention the FISA court, there's a lot of stuff out there about this ransomware. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you, listeners. Look, what you need. To make sure you have is two things. You want to have a boot up disk, okay, for your computer. They come with it if you have it, or you can make one. You can reinstall Windows, and you just get an external hard drive. Don't use Carbonite. They'll tell you they're better than it. Just get an external hard drive, plug it into your computer. It'll back everything up. I've had it happen to me, and it crashed completely. And it wouldn't. I put the boot up disk in there, and then it asked me if I had an external device, and I plugged it in there and left it in overnight. And the next day, the computer was exactly the same as it was. Everything came back. All the software in there, everything came back. So that's all you need.
Well, Frank, that's great info. Let me ask you this: how often do you back up your computer?
I take that external hard drive, and it just depends on how often you're adding new files to it, which I don't do all that often. So I only plug it in once every 3 or 4 months, but if you're constantly adding new files, you can just leave it plugged in, and it'll back up, continuously.
Well, good. I must try that.
All right.
Because the only thing that backs up, never mind.
Yeah, absolutely, and then you never have to worry. Make sure you got that boot up disk too. If you have that boot up disk and it crashes, the external hard drive won't do you much good.
So, right.
Okay, the FISA court. Now, my understanding about the FISA court is it was created so that, let's say, an intelligence agency wanted to, get the skinny on an American citizen as far as spying on him or something, and they needed a warrant. They would go to that FISA court,
right?
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. And basically, the FISA court is supposed to be like protected us,
right? Exactly. Right.
Okay. So now I don't know if you've heard this, but there are reports out there right now, and I don't know if it's fake news or not. But according to what I'm reading, is that sources that have deep ties into the intelligence community say that the FISA court has actually indicted a sealed indictment on the president. Have you heard that?
No.
Okay. Well, that's out there. So if you Google it, and they mention the people's names who have these deep ties in there. So what they're saying is, I didn't even know the FISA court could indict anybody. I to tell you the truth, I didn't even know they had that power.
I don't know that they can. The FISA court is like a magistrate.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a super magistrate. And they don't have the power to indict. They just have the power to issue warrants and allow investigations to go forward or people to be held until they do face charges in a court of law. So, in other words, if you're let's say you're smuggling drugs in the United States and you get arrested by the DEA, you will immediately go in front of a magistrate within 24 hours. And the magistrate will, he'll look at the DEA and say, why are you holding him? And they'll say, why? And he'll say, okay, that's legitimate, and here's the amount of bail. And he'll set the initial amount of bail or no bail. And that's about all he does. And from that point on, it goes to the prosecutors and then, the regular judges. So it's my understanding that they are super magistrates and that they do not indict.
That was my understanding of the report. It's like a payback for firing Comey or something. But,
I can see perhaps there was a request, to surveil or to unmask.
A sealed indictment's been issued, and what they're saying is they can't prosecute the president, but they're going to use it as a springboard for impeachment, which, what part of, the House is got a Republican majority that they not understand.
Well, my question would be, indictment for what?
Well, yeah, that's yeah,
right.
Steel,
so, yeah, I mean,
it evidently, it has something to do, obviously, with the. They're trying to say that Trump fired Comey in order to short circuit the Russian investigation.
That's more of a political argument than a legal argument.
Right.
And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that they're trying to do anything and everything that they can. I mean, it's obvious, and that's why I'm going to be talking about the liberals' three-headed beast here, mm-hmm. is that they're doing everything that they can to bring him down. And the three-headed beast is they're going after him for, and you're talking about one of the heads of the beast, and that would be Russian collusion. They're trying to make this argument that there's something there, right? And that all the heads of the beast came from the campaign. They came from the Hillary campaign. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the heads of the beast actually originated with Ted Cruz. It wasn't the Russian collusion, but we did hear that from Hillary Clinton. Remember in the debate?
17 intelligence agencies said that there's Russian collusion going on here. The Russians are doing this. Russian.
So she laid the groundwork for the argument. So the media is picking up with it, and that's going to go throughout the camp, throughout his presidency. It's going to last. They will never let it go, especially now that they have so much credibility vested in it. They have put so much hyperbole and hysteria into this argument, they can't let it go. So it will go on. It will go on regardless of the truth of the matter. Let me finish. The second of the three heads is chaos. That this administration, these are the heads of the beast, are their scripted storylines, which they will continue to press. Chaos. It's in chaos at the White House. He's mad all the time. He stalks around. He doesn't know who's his trusted people are. We're always hearing about he's getting ready to fire somebody. Okay, we just pulled up the report. We'll get to it on the sealed indictment thing. That it's all in chaos. This week he's going to fire Bannon and Priebus and even maybe his White House counsel, and of course, Hillary Clinton said, you elect Donald Trump, you're going to get chaos. Ted Cruz said, you elect Donald Trump, you're going to get nothing but chaos. Remember? Mm-hmm. And so they're running with that storyline. And the other one is that he's the authoritarian, he's fascist, and therefore our democratic institutions are under assault. And those are, and all of these, of course, are you know, of the utmost crisis proportion. Any one of them, of course, would be reason to, you know, not want this guy to be president of the United States. And now you have all three. So they're primed and ready to go with all of this. We're going to take a break. Frank, stay on the line. So we'll look into this story. So we'll be more informed to talk about it when we come back from the break.
Okay.
All right. So we are going to take a break. We'll be back. And we got another segment of this hour. But then we got a whole another hour to go here tonight with the Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. And please don't forget to like us on Facebook. If you do, that's American Adversaries on Facebook. And if you miss any or all of some of our shows, you can always go to our archive and get the whole thing. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. And I am tweeting around and tweaking around on Twitter, so you can follow me at Chris Hart Radio on Twitter. All right, so we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour. This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort, and I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and relax in comfort.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights, here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. We got Frank on the line, and he's pointed out that there is some information going around on the internet about a so-called sealed indictment against Donald Trump himself. We found a story by a fellow by the name of Bill Palmer, who is a liberal, and he is quoting another liberal by the name of Claude Taylor, whose sources have been proven right about Donald Trump grand juries, which I don't know what that's all about. Conservative pundit Luis Minch's sources have long been proven right, and so they say he says that Minch's sources and Claude Taylor's sources are the same, and that their sources say that there is a sealed indictment against Donald Trump himself with the intent. Now, this is the kicker here, all right? This is why I think all of this has got some element of bogusness to it, because it says the purpose of the indictment is not to have the president arrested or tried by the judicial branch, but to kickstart an impeachment process in Congress. It does not say what he is being indicted for. It alludes to the Russian collusion, but it does not say that that the indictment is over that or anything. Also says that it is not against Trump associates, but against him directly. As I said, this has got an element of bogusness to it. If there is a criminal indictment out there, you don't hold it up for impeachment purposes, right? An indictment is an indictment. Now, indictment can mean a legal indictment, or it can mean a political or argumentative indictment. You know what I'm trying to say here? And certainly there can be argumentative and political indictments out there galore. There's no question about that. But if there is a legal indictment against anybody, it is incumbent upon the court and the officers of the court to carry through with it. So that's why I think there's an element of bogusness going on here, Frank. And at the end of the day, I don't think Trump and the Russians colluded. Right? That's the bottom line. Is, and you and I know as well as anybody, that Trump was elected legitimately. If there was any collaboration or any tampering going on, it was by God, right? His hand was on this, not the Russians.
Amen to that.
Right?
Well, so, you know, I'm going to segue into that because what you said. Now, you know me, and I'm always looking at, you know, to me, what's happening in the natural realm, and I love the three-headed beast analogy, okay, is a reflection of what's really going on in the spirit realm, okay? And I'm always looking at that, okay?
Yep.
And it reminds me of Second Chronicles. If you read the story of Jehoshaphat, all right, the Jews, the Hebrews were up against it. They had three powerful enemies coming against them. I think it was Moab, Mount Seir, and another one, and they were basically going to get slaughtered. And God told them to take the praise and worship team and put them on the front line and just start praising and worshiping. And what happened was as the armies gathered to attack them, they turned on each other and they killed each other to a man. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what we need to do as Christians is to understand that the battle is in the spirit realm. Okay. And we need to take this three-headed beast and we need to call them out by name. In other words, the spirit of the Russian investigation, the Russian coup, the spirit of chaos. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we need to plead the blood of Jesus and command these evil spirits, which is, this whole thing is demonic, okay?
Yeah.
And we need to, by the authority we have, by the blood of Jesus, to command them to turn on each other, which is what, and they will end up eating each other alive because the law of opposite force will come into play and they will destroy themselves with this stuff. But we can't say, sit back and go, God's in control, brother. No. We have the responsibility to fight that battle in the spirit realm here, and then God's will be released into the situation. Amen?
Amen. See, you're absolutely right about all of that. And God's will includes using us, right? I mean, we're part of the action. We're part of the plan.
That's because that's the way God set it up, okay?
Right.
God can't intervene because he gave man dominion in this realm. Now, well, man passed it to Satan, but Jesus took it back on the cross, okay?
Yeah.
And the point is, Jesus, when they said, how should we pray? He said, look, pray that God, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God's will is not automatically done on earth, okay?
Right.
Look around. We have to pray God's will into a situation. That's our responsibility.
And by doing so, we put ourselves in the equation, you see? Mm-hmm. And then we become part of the solution. We become part of God's will being acted out.
Absolutely.
And so that's why it's so very important. I'm glad you brought all that up. Thanks,
very
friend.
Important. Speak to those things by name. It's the spirit of chaos,
right?
The spirit behind the Russian collusion thing. Speak to them by name, plead the blood of Jesus, and command them to turn on themselves.
And I'm here to tell you, that's the most powerful thing we can do.
Absolutely.
It is the most powerful thing we can do. It beats petitions. It beats everything else. All right. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks,
right,
Frank.
God bless you.
God bless you. Man.
Same to you. God bless
Bye-bye.
You. Yeah. And it is demonic what's going on. I mean, when you see the hatred and the vitriol and the bold-faced lies and all the hyperbole and hysteria over a fella who has got himself elected to be president, playing the political game, but wants to do good for the country, and they're just fighting him and trying to bring him down at every turn. And in the process, they have become that which they are warning us of, and that is those who are assaulting our political institutions. Yeah, there's an assault of our institutions going on by the liberals and the media, the liberals in politics and the liberals in the media. They are definitely assaulting it. But they would have us believe that they are the protectors of it. They're the Dudley Do-Rights, you see. And they think at the end why everybody's going to be praising them and loving them. But I think Frank is right. I think he's onto something here. And that is that they will turn on one another. If we stay steadfast, if we stay strong, if we just keep soldiering on and support this president and encourage our Republicans in the House and the Senate to support him and his policies, the other side will turn on each other because they will see that they're not getting results, and then they'll begin to blame one another for that. You're already seeing hints of it, you know, with the Hillary and all of that stuff, right? But more is yet to come. By the way, there's a columnist out there, Victor David Hansen. I know a lot of you have heard of him. He's very well known. He's authored about 24 books or more, and I believe he's a college professor now. I'm not sure. But anyways, he has been given a few interviews that aren't getting much attention because he's not saying what the liberal media wants to hear, and that is that this James Comey stuff is much ado about nothing, and it is, and that the president was he had every right to do what he did, and he did, and that worse stuff is yet to come about what Obama did. And that this story over the next 6 months or so is going to take a hard turn away from Trump and toward Obama and what they were doing and the unmasking and the spying and using the intelligence agencies for political gain. If there was any Nixonian stuff going on, it was by Barack Obama. And by the way, this issue of whether or not there are tapes or a taping system in the White House, you can better well believe that the phone calls are all being taped. There's no question about that.
And if there is a taping system in the Oval Office, the president has every legal right to do it. That's according to Joe DeGeneva. He was the prosecutor in New York, the prosecutor who prosecuted the blind sheik. You see him on Fox a lot. And as I said earlier, he's the only one, other than us, that I have heard say in a public setting that James Comey broke the law. Not just rules and protocol and Justice Department, standard operating procedure. He broke the law. And this is a law that is backed up by fines and prison time. He broke the Privacy Act when he came out with that first briefing, or whatever you want to call it, about Hillary Clinton. He broke the law. He is a felon. Only nobody bothered to point it out or prosecute it. Well, we pointed it out that very day. I pointed it out.
But once again, he was protecting the people who hold his reins, the Clintons.
Evidently so. Just like he let Bill Clinton off for all those pardons, like the one for Mark Rich.
And he let Hillary off with the Travelgate.
And he let Hillary off with Travelgate and with the Rose Law. And who knows? I think that this Watergate investigation also looked into the Vince Foster death, remember? Because Vince Foster was part of the Watergate, the Whitewater investigation. Did I say Watergate? I meant Whitewater. The Whitewater investigation included Vince Foster because he was one of the partners at the Rose Law Firm, which is where it is alleged that he had an affair with Hillary Clinton. And he ends up dead in a suicide.
That
wasn't a suicide, or at least if it was a suicide, he managed to move his own body before he died.
It was a very determined suicide attempt.
Not just determined, but prolonged. He managed to shoot himself in the mouth, right, through the back of his head, and yet still relocate his body. Now, that's pretty remarkable stuff there, all right? And there was James Comey right in the middle of all that. And the Clintons walk then, the Clintons walk now, and he's not just letting the Clintons go. It wasn't just enough to do that. He had to make trouble for the new guy. And that's what he intends to continue doing. And by the way, he refused to testify the other day because it was going to be in private. He wants to testify only in public. So I'm sure he's got a gizzard full of stuff. Although,
wait until he gets served.
The same rules still apply to him that applied when he was the director. So you would think that he has nothing new to say.
Oh, well. But, he can refuse until he gets the papers.
Yeah.
Then if he continues to refuse, he can find another home from home.
This is all just bogus. It is a witch hunt, like President Trump has said. And these vultures, these beasts, the heads of the beast, are motivated by evil. Let's just say it is demonic. At the end of the day, it is, because it is nothing but hate and well, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. But anyway, it is something that we're going to have to continue to deal with. And once again, as we called for prayer during the election, we again call for prayer. And as Frank said, call out those who are behind all this, the evil demonic forces who are behind all of this, and those who are acting in their behalf on this planet. All right, we'll take a break. We are now back up on the Big Stick. If you've been listening to the Rays post-game show, I hope that will keep you around what we were just talking about for the rest of our show. We got another hour to go with the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour, and we're coming right back at you after this break.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart, co-host South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy The American Adversaries.
Welcome back for hour number three of the American Adversaries 3-hour classic tour as we come to you live now up on 105 FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer, and still up on 1520 WBZW and AM 660 TheAnswer.com. I want to thank all of you who are listening on those other outlets. If you'd now like to listen on 105.5 FM or AM 660, you can do so, and if you've been listening to the Rays postgame show, I hope you'll stick around and listen to the rest of our show. And then at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 11, you got Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, and he'll have a lot to talk about tonight, too, with the Comey firing and all of that big news from the week. And once again, as I said earlier, the libs in the media and in the Democrat Party are trying to make as much out of this as possible. And that's what we expect them to do. But we're around here to counter that sort of thing. When I say we, I mean the firm foundation of the American Adversaries, none other than Aubrey Kahn.
That's me.
That's him. And we now have in the studio with us Kathy Santomassino. She is the diva who is in charge and control of our Facebook page.
The tired diva.
I am Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And once again, thank you for being with us tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. We've had a couple, several excellent phone calls already. Normally at this time, Sunny Patricia Summerlin, our California gorgeous lady, would be joining us live from California. However, as we were lining that up just now, she informed Jeff that she just found out she lost a close friend. She's not going to be able to be with us tonight, but she'll be back with us next week. But in the meantime, we got a lot to yet talk about tonight, and Kathy's got a big old stack of odd stories for us. We'll get to that. But there is a couple of things I did want to talk about with Sonny, so we'll just go ahead and kind of run them around ourselves for a couple of minutes. And the first one is Jerry Brown has put into his budget for the state of California $30 million to be spent to defend illegals from the federal government deporting them. You want to talk? Not. I mean, it's bad enough he wants to make the place a sanctuary state and put them up, but now he wants to pay their legal fees too, right? I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse out there in California. In the meantime, the Rock has said that he would like to perhaps run for president of the United States, and Bruce Caitlin Jenner has said that he is prepared to run for office as well in order to put pressure on President Trump to give more attention to LGBTQ issues. So more power to them. If nothing else, Trump has instilled in people's minds that if he can do it, I can do it, I guess. I don't know. The Rock for president, I don't think so.
Can you imagine what that would look like and what kind of cabinet they would have?
What the Rock has cooking, right? It would be interesting, though. Unfortunately, though, I think he's I don't know. I can't really figure him out. He doesn't like Trump. But he's not your typical liberal either, so who knows? All right, but anyway, we were going to talk about that sort of stuff with Sunny, but we'll pick it up with her again next week. The state of Texas has moved to ban sanctuary cities in their state. Obviously, the president wants to do that nationwide, finding a lot of resistance. But there were a lot, of course, there's a lot of pushback against Texas doing anything like that. And there's been a lot of lies being spread about Texas's new anti-sanctuary city law. But it's interesting that a Democrat sheriff, sheriff of Hidalgo County, his name is J.E., goes by Eddie Guerra, he told folks at a recent gathering that that the sanctuary city law is just has it is a mechanism that allows local law enforcement who stumble across somebody with a criminal record who is also wanted by Customs and Immigration Enforcement, they'll be detained and turned over to ICE. That's all it says. And he goes on to say, if you have not committed a crime, regardless of your immigration status, unless you are subject to an ICE warrant, you are not going to be turned over to ICE. And what the liberals have been saying is that Texas sanctuary city ban was applying to all illegals, when in fact it is much more specific than that. A lot of people would like it to apply to all illegals, but in fact it does not. It's a little bit more nuanced than that. Nonetheless, though, I'm sure it will be challenged in court. But hats off to this sheriff, a Democrat sheriff who is willing to stand up and describe the law for what it is,
right,
accurately. If only there were more Democrats like that. Unfortunately, there aren't. So whatever. Just the last few words on Clapper on Tapper this morning. He said that he talked to some FBI agents, and they were most upset about the way James Comey was treated. Right? This is how they're trying to get around the hypocrisy of liberals clamoring, screaming, demanding his resignation, and then when he gets fired, turning right around and saying, "Oh, woe is him! Why? How can this be? He was leading the investigation." Well, my only question is, if he was leading the investigation and you were demanding for him to resign, using the same logic as you're using against the President Trump, does that mean that those who were demanding that he resign, which would include Schumer, Maxine Waters, Harry Reid demanded he be fired, does that mean that they were all trying to stop the investigation too? Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that what they were saying, Trump, why he was mm-hmm. doing this?
Right.
Right? So if we're going to use that same logic, because all these people knew that he was leading the investigation into Donald Trump, and yet they were demanding that he resign, that he be go away. Weren't they demanding that the investigation somehow be thwarted? Using their logic.
During the Hillary investigation, remember how many Democrats wanted to get Comey out of the way because they were afraid it would impede her election chances?
Yep. That's what I'm talking about.
But you cannot use the same logic as they used previously because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Well, exactly. I understand that.
They're schizophrenics.
But that's what I'm demonstrating here.
Yeah.
Is that their story, their so-called fact, is nothing but a concocted, scripted story.
That's the Democrat way.
Exactly.
It's been ever since I've been in this country.
Right. And that's, I'm just illustrating it even more. And so Clapper, once again, it turns out that this guy is nothing but a political hack himself. Like I said, he was in position to see if there was any collusion going on. He didn't see any. That means there was none. There was none.
Is he reneging now, though?
He's trying to be coy. He's trying to be cute.
He's trying to say that, no, I didn't see any, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen because these other people were looking and I didn't know what they were looking at.
Remember, it's right? The seriousness of the charge.
Except that he was the director of the National Intelligence Agency. If there was any collaboration going on and they didn't know about it, then they're a bunch of incompetent boobs who don't know what they're doing.
Well, maybe
they're not.
Maybe they hid it and put it on top of Hillary's desk where the Rose desk, where the Rose law firm invoices were.
Look, the bottom line is if James Clapper didn't see any collusion going on, it means it wasn't happening. It means it wasn't there to be seen. I mean, we can play this little game of logic all day long. Well, just because he didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen. That's kind of like the old, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? Well, of course it makes a sound. If no, it doesn't matter if somebody's there to hear it or not. But you see, the little logical trick is, well, if nobody's there to hear it, how do you know it makes a sound? Well, if you understand what sound is, then you wouldn't ask such a stupid question. If you understand what the NIA does, you would understand that if he did not see any collusion or collaboration going on, because that's what he's looking for, it means it didn't happen. That's it.
The end of the story.
End of story. And yet they use him to prolong the story, and he plays right into that.
No, I didn't see any of it. I don't know anything about it. But that doesn't mean somebody else didn't see anything about it.
If you didn't see anything of it and you didn't know anything about it, either it didn't happen or you were asleep at the wheel and everybody that works for you has got their thumbs up their butts and don't know what they're doing. You see? That's the bottom line. And yet, they once again, it's the three-headed beast. And this beast is not going to go away. He will not be slain. We can whack at him all we want, but he's going to come back for more. And the three-headed beast is the scripted storyline themes. And the themes are Donald Trump's presidency is a result of Russian collusion. And it is also resulting in chaos, and our very democratic institutions are under assault. Those three intertwined, but yet independent, scripted storylines are here to stay. So do not get, just laugh them off, because it is laughable. At the end of the day, it is nothing but laughable. All right, speaking of laughable, Kathy's got a bunch of laughable stories, I take it, with her tonight. So we're going to take a break and come back with Sunday's Odd Stories with Kathy Santomassino. And I hope you'll be right here with us, the American Adversaries, Sunday evening, three-hour classic tour. And please don't forget to like us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio. And you can check out our archive at our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. We'll be right back.
The weather is heating up, and so is the Central Florida real estate market. Hi, I'm Pierce Outlaw, Vice President of Patriot Home Funding. The greatest asset a buyer has in a hot competitive market is the ability to close on time, at a great rate, and with no hassle. The home loan professionals at Patriot Home Funding are dedicated to making sure you get the best financing possible to make you the most attractive buyer possible. And if you are a seller, you need the peace of mind of knowing that your buyers are pre-approved by the most knowledgeable and experienced lender to ensure your sale closes. All it takes is one free 15-minute phone call to get your pre-approval today. Our 112 combined years of superior service and expertise will stand behind you as a buyer or seller to ensure your transaction closes on time, efficiently, with the best rate and lowest cost possible. Pick up that phone now and call Patriot Home Funding at 877-377-8123. That's 877-377-8123. Or visit us on the web at mypHF.com. That's mypHF.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream. Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida, NMLS number 171699, and is an equal housing lender.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. relax, and comfort. And I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and Relax and Comfort.
Former WWE Intercontinental Wrestling Champion. You are listening to the American Adversaries on WORL AM 660 and FM 105.5. You better tune in or it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
And that's what we're here to do, teach all them liberals a lesson. That's right, the American Adversaries. Stay strong, soldier on. Don't let all this fall to all bring you down. All right, we got some odd stuff from Kathy ready to go for you.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say to our female listeners out there that are moms, happy Mother's Day.
Amen.
And do you know there's 85.4 million moms in the U.S.? And guess how much money we spend on Mother's Day annually?
It's one of the bigger holidays as far as cards and flowers go. I'd say, what, $2
billion? $671 million Ooh. On cards.
All right.
$85.4 million total. Wait, that's mom. Sorry about that. Cards, $671 million. Total amount spent. How much did you say?
I thought $2
billion. Oh, more than that. $20.7
billion. $20
billion. I know. Can you believe this? Flowers. Any guesses on that?
How much is spent on flowers?
Yeah.
Alone? I'd have to say five.
$1.9 billion.
Well, what do they buy? A lot of house coats or something?
That's a lot of roses.
That's a lot of diamonds being bought by guilty husbands.
Yeah, and this one blew me away. What do you think the average dollar amount American consumers spend on Mother's Day?
$100.
$169.
$169. All right.
And percent of Mother's Day gifts bought online. This surprised me, too.
Percent online, that's probably going to be 80.
No, it's 28.5%.
Oh, that's right, because you're talking about men. You're talking about men buying things. They rush
children
out to the store at the last minute.
Well, but you know, you don't want the parcel to arrive home and mom's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's been delivered.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, this story was like the highlight of the week. Did you hear about the Gator girl that outsmarted the Gator?
Oh, yeah. Right here locally.
A very brave 10-year-old girl is lucky to be alive after successfully fending off an alligator that attacked her in Orlando last weekend. Little Juliana Osa knew exactly what to do to save her life. I was in the water and there was a mean 9-foot gator biting my leg, she told Inside Edition. The alligator grabbed my leg. I tried hitting it to release me, but it didn't work. The situation happened last Saturday at Mary Jane Lake, which is about 26 miles from Disney World, and she was swimming in just a foot of water when the gator attacked. Mm. She not only punched the beast in the nose, Osa actually shoved her two little fingers into the gator's nostrils and pried his mouth open. Thanks to what she learned at Gatorland, the young lady knew how to handle herself. I used what they taught me at Gatorland, so I put my two fingers up its nostrils and it couldn't breathe and had to breathe from its mouth and then let my leg out, she said.
Right.
The gator didn't do anything because he was too busy biting my leg and too busy with his claws in the sand. He didn't have any attack moves to take out my fingers. Now, keep in mind, this is a 10-year-old girl talking, right? She sounds like she's 30.
Yeah, I think she's on the Today Show the other day.
Yeah. Anyway, at 10 years old, to have that much wherewithal to do what she did is incredible. We are so proud of her that she got out of there with as little damage as she got, said Tim Williams of Gatorland. Juliana only needed 10 stitches to close the wound. And remember, if you come in contact with a gator, expert Jordan Munn says you will want to poke him in the eye or the ear and make as much noise as possible. I think this little girl has a bright future ahead of her. Maybe gator wrestling.
Yeah, obviously sticking your fingers in his nose would help too.
Yeah, and if you come across a gator, don't let him know you're a Seminole fan.
Right. By the way, the Sentinel ran a couple of very small articles about this, you know, just a couple of paragraphs in the local section. And they actually misrepresented the story.
That's nothing new.
Well, but there was a little bit in there of it, too. And when they said that she pried the gator's jaws open, you don't pry a gator's jaws open. The gator let her leg go because
she couldn't breathe.
Exactly.
Yes. Right.
And she yanked it out. And so don't be misled here.
Exactly.
You're not going to pry gator's jaws open, right?
And I need to ask this guy from Gatorland, where the heck are gator's ears? Do you have any idea where they are?
Side of his head. Where else do you think?
Obviously, they're not noticeable in the water, right?
Right. Yeah, I don't know either. Good question. Yeah.
Anyway, well, a woman visiting.
But she is lucky to be alive.
Oh, very lucky and very smart.
Because usually it happens so fast.
Yeah. Well, a woman visiting Arkansas's Crater of Diamonds at the Diamond State Park said she found a 2.65 carat diamond after less than 10 minutes of searching.
Oh.
Oklahoma resident Victoria Brodsky said she decided to visit the park for her 25th birthday after hearing about a 7.44 carat diamond discovered in the park last March. Brodsky and her family entered the park about 9 a.m. Saturday, and after less than 10 minutes, she had picked up what she initially believed to be a pretty piece of glass by a culvert near the mine entrance. Brodsky said it wasn't until she was looking at photos of diamonds at the park's Diamond Discovery Center a few hours later that she realized she may have found something that may not have been glass. "I was looking at pictures of diamonds on display and noticed their similarity to what I had found," Brodsky said. Park staff were able to confirm for Brodsky that she found a brown diamond. Brodsky dubbed her diamond the second largest found at the park for this year, the Michelangelo diamond, in reference to her family's use of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as code words for what that's worth. Can you imagine that? Anyway.
No, that's a pretty good stroke of luck.
Yeah, very, very good stroke of luck.
Isn't South Africa still the world's largest producer of
diamonds? Probably
De Beers.
Gold as well.
Yeah, De Beers owns
platinum.
80% of the diamond mines in the world.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
They also own a ton of Russian diamond mines.
Is that right?
That's why the prices are always regulated. Manipulated by the market.
Yeah, because they can control the
market. Yeah, exactly. It's a monopoly.
All right.
Okay, here we go with another United Airlines story. Well, United Airlines may need to hire an exterminator when you hear this next story. A United Airlines flight out of Houston was delayed for hours after a scorpion was spotted crawling out from a sleeping passenger's sleeve. If you recall, I did a story a couple of weeks ago about a scorpion on a flight.
Was that a United?
Yes. A man was stung by a scorpion that had fallen from an overhead luggage bin on a United flight from Houston to Calgary. Well, passengers on another United flight from George Bush Intercontinental Airport in Ecuador Thursday evening said the plane had
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
George Bush?
Yes.
Airport.
Intercontinental Airport in Ecuador.
In Ecuador?
Yeah, so guess what?
Remember, these stories are the weirdest stories I can find.
So guess what? It's all George Bush's fault.
Anyway, flight 1035 from Ecuador. The plane had been already delayed by bad weather when the pilot came over the loudspeaker and told the plane was being evacuated because of a big bug that had been spotted on board. Well, witnesses said a passenger at the back of the plane reportedly saw a scorpion crawl out from a sleeping seatmate's sleeve and run under the man's chair. Passengers initially reported a man had been stung, but United said there were no injuries. It was unclear whether the scorpion was ever located, but passengers said the flight departed 3.5 hours late.
George Bush Airport in Ecuador.
That's right, Chris.
Hot dog.
But didn't I just show you something about JetBlue today?
What's that?
A family was thrown off a plane because of a birthday cake.
I heard about that.
Birthday cake.
Yeah.
You mean they weren't allowed to bring it on?
They had it on, and the flight attendant told them to put in an overhead bin. They did. They were then told to move it to another overhead bin. They did. They were then told to put it under the seat, and they did. Then another flight attendant comes along and says,
you need to get off the plane.
And they call the Port Authority. Port Authority says, they've done nothing wrong, but they were forced off the plane. They were given refunds because of a stupid birthday cake.
The problem was they didn't bring enough for everybody.
It was buttercream.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
If it had been chocolate cake, then it would have been a racist thing.
I have a dumb criminal story for you guys. Authorities in Arizona said they arrested 7 people on drug charges after a man on parole mistakenly texted a parole office employee for a drug deal.
Yeehaw!
The Mojave County Sheriff's Office said the Mojave Area General Narcotics Enforcement Team was contacted by the Arizona Department of Corrections Parole Office after parolee Christopher Willman, 46, sent an apparent wrong number text to a department official seeking to sell heroin.
Don't you just hate that?
It was unclear whether Wellman had texted his own parole officer with the offer. The narcotics enforcement team arranged to make a purchase from Wellman, and he was found at the agreed-upon time Tuesday, hiding in a shed with the heroin he was allegedly planning to sell.
Entrapment.
Investigators searched the property and discovered paraphernalia related to methamphetamine, the sheriff's office said. The property owner, John Dudick, 65, told investigators he had been selling meth for more than 50 years. Five other people on the property at the time were also arrested on paraphernalia and possession charges.
See, confession is good for the soul.
Oh, gosh. All right. Those smart devices get you in trouble every time. We're the American Adversaries. We got another half hour to go. Hope you'll be with us. Don't forget, Mark Walters on Armed American Radio will take you up till 11. They got a whole slew to talk about with this James Comey nonsense. We'll be right back with some more SOS News with Kathy Santomassino.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Britain's National Cybersecurity Center has joined others in warning that more cases of ransomware attacks may come to light as a new work week starts Monday. The organization predicts that the problem could be at a significant scale because some infected machines have not yet been detected and existing infections can spread within networks. It said Sunday that a similar cyber attack could also recur, though it did not have any specific evidence of this. France's new president has made his first visit after his inauguration to a military hospital in a Paris suburb. Emmanuel Macron's team says that he went to Percy Hospital to meet with soldiers wounded in combat. The media weren't allowed to cover the visit. New York lawmakers are considering a breathalyzer of sorts to combat distracted driving from texting. This is SRN News.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
This is Sunny, the California girl,
And I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
And we're back, and we're joined by Kathy Santomassino. Thank you for joining us. 407-774-8255 is the number. All right, we got some more odd stories for you. I still can't get over that George Bush airport in Ecuador.
I know.
Okay, all right.
Well, a Florida woman stranded in traffic by a morning crash passed the time by getting out her mat and practicing yoga in the middle of the highway. Kristen Bornson said a collision shut down the northbound lanes of Interstate 95 Wednesday morning, leaving her and several other drivers stranded until the road could be reopened. Bornson said she passed the time by getting out her yoga mat and practicing poses including cobra, plow, and king pigeon.
King
Bornson
pigeon.
Said it was about 2 hours before.
That sounds like titles for porn movies, right?
She laid an egg.
These poses are, well, we won't go there anyway.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
Anyway, Bornson said it was about 2 hours before the roadway was reopened and she could continue on her way around 11:30 in the morning. I'm just wondering, was this lady on her way to yoga class prior to the accident and figured, well, I can't go to class, so I'm going to do it right here on the interstate.
Well, what I want to know is, would she do the same thing if she had to go to the bathroom? It seems as though she was determined to go about a regular routine here, right?
I don't even want to think about it.
Okay.
Okay, this next story is just bizarre. Doctors in China.
And by the way, the guy in the car behind her loved every minute.
I'm sure he did. And he also listens to American Adversaries Radio. Doctors in China said they surgically removed two ballpoint pens from a man who swallowed them more than three decades ago. Surgeons at the hospital in Suzhou, Jiangsu province, said the man surnamed Wang told them he swallowed the pens as part of a lost bet when he was just 14 years old. 36 years ago, Wang told the doctors he forgot about swallowing the writing implements until February when they showed up on an x-ray during a body examination.
He forgot about it.
I don't know how.
The ink levels were low.
So he knew he had done it, he just forgot about it?
36 years ago, right? The pens were successfully removed on April 24th, and no word as to whether they still worked.
Okay. That was called the pens, not the
great
pens.
Commercial for Bic, though, don't you think?
I was going to say, if they were Bic pens, I bet they still write, right?
Well, okay. A Connecticut woman who claimed a $3 million lottery jackpot from a scratch-off ticket said her win was predicted years ago by a psychic.
Oh, yeah.
Connecticut lottery officials said Carolyn O'Brien of New Milford claimed a $3 million prize, receiving about $2.3 million from the lump sum option this month from a $3 million Royale instant ticket. I played it in the car and started screaming and dancing. We pulled the car over cheering, and I started sobbing like a baby, O'Brien told officials. O'Brien said her win was foretold years ago when she had her fortune read by a psychic. She said the psychic stopped her as she was preparing to leave. She grabbed my arm and said, "I see with a check in your hand cheering, I did it," O'Brien recalled. The prediction bore out as O'Brien was leaving Connecticut Lottery headquarters as she held up her check and shouted, "Best day ever, I did it." Pretty cool,
so,
huh?
Explain something to me about psychics. If they know the future, why don't they know that you're coming or what your name is?
Well, some of them do.
No, they don't.
Some of them are pretty sharp, like that one on TV. You know, there's a woman who has a TV show.
The Long Island Medium.
She's incredible.
She was just in town not too long ago.
Oh, was she? Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of in town, the Antiques Roadshow was in town last fall?
Last fall.
And mm-hmm. they taped 2 days' worth of stuff.
Yeah.
They made three-hour-long episodes out of it.
Right.
And the first one is tomorrow night on PBS at 8 o'clock. And then the following two Mondays will be the other two episodes.
So
and
you
forgot
it?
One very important detail, Chris.
You mean we were there?
We were there.
I don't think we'll be on TV, but
you
we
never
were there.
Know.
We were there. We did see the robot. There's going to be a robot that you'll see.
Right.
We saw as we were going in, the robot was getting wheeled out, and right went right by us, and he's on TV.
Right.
And
it was exciting. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was that we took some stuff of our own to have him look at.
And Chris had a winner, and I had a loser.
I had taken a clock that my grandfather had bought for my grandmother, my dad's mother and father. And they were farmers in Georgia. And this was kind of like the old Green Acres. Remember how Mr. Haney used to come around with his truck and the stuff on it?
Yeah.
They used to have this guy who would come around with a horse-drawn wagon, and he would have stuff in the back. And he came by one day, and he had this clock in there. And they call it a centennial clock because it was made in 1876. And it shows the time. It also shows weather and the moon cycles and stuff. And they said I was worth between $800 and $1,200.
Nice.
Can't retire, though.
No, not on that.
Not yet.
But it was interesting. Now, it's Mother's Day that my grandfather bought it for my grandmother. Because, all right.
Well, this next story is for you, Chris.
Uh-oh.
An amateur golfer at a famous Florida course was filmmaking a once-in-a-lifetime shot that actually knocked a flying duck out of the air. Did you hear about this? Ryan Gray was teeing off Monday at TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach, where the Players' Championship is due to begin later this week, while being filmed by Fred.
That's the Players' Championship is wrapping up right now, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His friend Todd Shannon, watched Gray as he took a swing at a low-flying duck as it suddenly flew into the video's frame. Now, picture this. The duck is flying as he's taking his shot, and the duck flies into the path of the golf ball, right?
Right.
Okay. So who's faster, the golf ball or the duck?
At that point, the golf ball.
You better believe it. The golf ball scores a direct hit, causing the duck to fall lifeless into the water.
He wasn't trying to do it.
No,
it was
just all
The duck was determined to commit suicide.
Well, the question is, though, where did the ball go?
Can you imagine watching this take place
and PETA is now suing, right?
Well, the video's on YouTube for all you golf enthusiasts. I'm sure it's something to see.
PETA's not taking up the case?
I don't think so. Well, this next story proves that potato chips can be very addictive.
Mm.
The Texas Department of Public Safety seized $19 million worth of cocaine found hidden in a shipment of Mexican potato chips.
You can't eat just one.
DPS special agents investigated several indicators of criminal activity at a Hidalgo County warehouse to discover boxes containing 133 packages of cocaine weighing 323 pounds at 5:30 p.m. on May the 4th. DPS arrested Jesus Salvador Gonzalez Mendoza and Hernan Jalil Mena Real, both of Jalisco, Mexico, on federal drug charges. Both suspects were transported and booked into the San Juan Police Department jail, the department said.
Mm.
I will never think of a Lay's potato chip
in
the same way ever again.
Well, but Lay's are not made in Mexico.
No.
No, they're made right up the street here, I think.
Yeah.
Well, a turkey hunter in Indiana had a strange encounter with a brave and friendly deer that was deeply interested in his shotgun. Corey Cook shared video of the whitetail buck brazenly approaching and licking the barrel of his gun as he hid in a bundle of twigs and leaves. Cook said the buck was abnormally friendly and loves getting scratched, as the video showed the animal calmly grazing the leaves as he gently stroked its neck. Cook's friend, Leon Champagne, said their hunting group encountered the buck and another young deer hours later, and the pair remained extraordinarily friendly. I believe this is their first season without following mom around to teach them what is dangerous, Champagne said. I also believe that they were just simply inquisitive. The group managed to successfully harvest a turkey, but Champagne said the encounter with the deer was a highlight of the trip. It was truly a once-in-a-lifetime encounter that I'm incredibly fortunate enough to have captured on my phone, he said. I personally think that these deers should get amnesty during honey season.
See,
Chris.
Now these deers are smart.
Very.
This isn't because they're inexperienced. They've seen the regular deers that run away. They get shot, right?
So you
go up and you lick them in the face, right?
But what's with this political correctness? You don't plant deer. You don't plant deer. So how do you harvest deer?
Well,
you shoot them. You don't harvest them. Harvesting's for wheat and grain. And
yeah, but the point is the deer got a new method figured out here.
Yeah. That's right.
Going against the grain.
They didn't get shot, did they? That's all that counts.
They're still alive, ain't they, right?
Well,
they didn't get harvested.
Well, if you think only dogs and cats have GPS when it comes to finding their way home, this next story will surprise you. A massive 17-foot python that was missing in an Alaska neighborhood for 2 weeks found its way home. Matanuska Susitna Burrow, that's the name for sure, shared a photo of Sam, the 100-pound Burmese python, and animal care officer Darla Erskine after the wayward snake suddenly reappeared in his owner's living room at 4 p.m. last Monday. Erskine had been searching the neighborhood for the snake since it was reported missing on April the 24th, but Sam's owner, David Hyde, said the pet had its own plan. He told Alaska Dispatch News he was working outside on his property when Sam slithered through his open front door to make his return. I decided he was gone forever, and I thought it'd be okay to leave my door open so I could come and go as I was working on chores, Hyde said, and there he was. Hyde said it appeared Sam had not eaten during the 2 weeks the snake was missing, and he had no idea where his pet had been. There was no evidence of where Sam went on his journey except for some molted snake skin and a neighbor's disassembled RV. Now that Sam is home again, Hyde said he will keep the snake safely locked in his room and assured his neighbors they have nothing to fear. He's not vicious or evil. He's just shy and hungry, he said.
Aunt Mabel is missing.
Did you say this guy lives in Alaska?
Alaska.
And he's got a python?
A 100-pound Burmese python.
A snake.
They're not venomous.
That lives in the tropical region?
Yes, but they're not venomous.
All right.
So?
Yeah, but they'll squeeze you to death.
Yeah, they will.
Give you a big hug.
Like politicians, they'll squeeze you too. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries.
This is Chris Hart of the American Adversaries, where we keep you informed, even if that makes you a little tense. Sometimes that's good, but for your overall health and well-being, I'm here to tell you, you need to relax. Relax in comfort, and I'm going to tell you how you can do just that. Everyone loves a personal massage to ease those pains and discomforts, and it would be great to have one every day. But at $75 and up with tip, who can afford it? However, could you afford the most relaxing massage you've ever had for, say, $5 per day? I've had one of these wonderful massage experiences at Relax and Comfort in Winter Park Village, and I want you to have the same. Soothing and stress-relieving total body massage that I had at Relax and Comfort. Listen for your chance to win some time in Panasonic's new massage chair for a more relaxing and invigorating massage than you'll get from a professional masseuse. You'll love it. Stay tuned for details and Relax and Comfort.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Yes, this is B, Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, and I'm tired of those sticky liberal lies. That's why I tune in to the American Adversaries, where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
Welcome back to the show, folks. By the way, this is National Police Week. And tonight, as a matter of fact, as we're speaking right now, there is a National Candlelight Vigil going on in Washington, D.C., on the mall there. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is heading it up to a candlelight vigil for all the fallen police officers who have fallen in the line of duty.
And go on to Wounded Officers Initiative, sign up and honor them there as well. You can also donate to their cause where they help the wounded and fallen officers of our police forces.
That's woundedofficersinitiative.org. You spell all that out. Kathy.
Well, a visitor to the Gulf Coast in Alabama captured a video of a kayaker paddling for his life while being chased through the water by an alligator. A lot of alligator stories today.
Yeah.
Shannon Collins posted a series of videos to Facebook showing the unknown man furiously paddling his kayak toward the dock Sunday in Spanish Fort while a large alligator swims toward him. Now, he's in a kayak, not a boat.
Yep.
When you really, really, really don't want to tip over your kayak, Collins wrote in the video's description. Collins said in a comment that the kayaker successfully escaped. That gator followed him until he docked, then stayed there by him until he loaded his kayak in his truck and left. He got a little too close to her babies, we think, and she wasn't letting him out of her sight. The gator was serious, she wrote. It is gator mating season, by the way, now, too. So gators are extremely aggressive.
Well, they're more active during the spring and summer months, yeah, no doubt.
Well, this next story is just from our neck of the woods, just down the road from us, Chris.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, wildlife officials in Florida are warning residents not to approach a family of monkeys that appear to have moved into the neighborhood. Residents of the Water's Edge Drive area in Fruitland Park, about 30 miles from where a loose monkey was recently caught on camera.
Real quick, Fruitland Park is up there by the Villages.
Yes. Yeah. But there was a monkey that was caught on camera in Apopka, where they have seen monkey sightings for months. Recently appears to be a family of racist macaques who have moved into the neighborhood.
Macaques, I think.
A macaque or macaque.
Macaw, something
not
like
macaw,
that.
Macaque.
But they're not racist.
The monkeys.
They're rhesus.
The monkeys have repeatedly been caught on camera in recent days. I went past the walkway that goes to the private fishing dock and I saw a monkey. That's the first time I've ever seen one, Christopher Hicks, who captured a photo of a monkey Monday afternoon, told WKMG-TV in Orlando. Penny Testerman, who said she spotted a monkey in the area in December, blamed the primates for knocking the fruit off her orange tree. She said she recently had another unusual encounter with one of the animals. I heard this water dripping down, and I looked up, and I saw this tail, and he was actually peeing. Testerman told WFTV.
Hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is distributing flyers in the area warning residents not to feed or approach the monkeys. Your community is being alerted and asked to provide information on past and current sightings, the FWC said. Officials said the Fruitland Park sightings do not appear to be related to the Apopka sightings. The rhesus natives are from Asia. And they're thought to be related to a group of monkeys that were brought to Silver Spring State Park back in the 1930s as part of a river cruise attraction. Remember the Silver Spring?
Silver Springs, yeah.
Glass bottom boats. They also filmed Tarzan episodes there and the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, the University of Florida estimates there's up to 200 of these monkeys living in our region currently. And that's SOS News for Sunday, May 14th, 2017.
You know how they got to be 200, right?
Same way as our population grows.
Monkey business.
There you go.
All right. Speaking of monkey business, did you hear about the Texas wrestler who was wrestling? This is a transgender boy wrestling in the girls' division. All right, and Texas is writing a bill which will prevent transgender boys from wrestling in the girls' division and
vice versa,
right? But here's
what about the toilets?
It doesn't get into that. This is an interesting twist to this story. Okay, when transgender wrestler Mac Beggs won a girls' state championship, his victory drew complaints that his steroid therapy treatment had given him an unfair advantage against girls who risked injury just by getting on the mat with him. Okay, first of all, you would think, as you're reading through this story, that it's about a boy who wanted to be a girl, right? And so he's wrestling in the girls' division. In fact, this is a girl
who wants to become a boy.
Right.
But she's taking hormones, which build up her muscle mass, etc.
Exactly. And the girls just can't compete with him, her. And some of the officials and parents are afraid that the girls would get hurt. And in his last match, he's 56-0, by the way. And in his last match, he came out with a win, but a bloody nose, and got booed for it. But Beggs doesn't want to wrestle against the girls. He wants to wrestle against the boys because he wants to be. You see how convoluted
I'm
all of
confused,
this stuff gets?
Chris.
Well, obviously, it's very confusing.
Why can't we just be the gender we were born to be?
Yeah, because, you know, as I was reading this story, I'm thinking that this is a girl who wanted to be a boy who wanted to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it's a girl who wanted to be a boy, and she wanted to wrestle in the boys' division, but they're making her wrestle in the girls' division, which...
Well, because she's a girl.
And it's unfair to the girls because of her strength.
Right, exactly. I mean, she's a girl, but she's undergoing this therapy, which makes her much stronger.
How are the rules in the Olympics where that...
They're going to have to deal with this.
That's going to be changing.
Are there some new regulations? Because I just don't think it's fair.
There's going to be changes.
They will be coming, believe me.
I don't think it's fair.
They're not there yet, but they'll have to deal with it too, because some athlete's going to come along who wants to be in the other gender, whether it's a man who wants to be a woman or a woman who wants to be a man. They'll either have to acquiesce and change the rules at that point.
Or you're sexist.
Or they'll get sued.
Right.
And that'll force them to change.
But let me ask you a dumb, crazy, stupid question.
Yeah.
The parents are concerned that their daughters will get hurt. Well, what are they putting them in wrestling for in the first place?
There you go.
It's not that they'll get hurt wrestling, that they'll get hurt wrestling against someone who is obviously out of their class. So I can see your point, but I can see their point, too. All right. You guys have heard of Snooki, right?
Yeah.
How did she get the name Snooki, by the way? It's not even close to her real name. Let me find the story here real quick.
I don't have a clue.
Of course, she's part of the Kardashian group, right?
No, she was that reality TV show about those kids in New Jersey on the boardwalk. I can't remember the name of the show.
That's right. But I thought somehow that was all tied together. I don't know. Anyway, there is now a Snooki law.
Oh.
A Snooki law in, okay, she was Jersey Shore. Thank you, Nick.
There you go.
Nicole Elizabeth Lavelle.
That's her real name, yes. Nicole Elizabeth Lavelle, commonly known as Snooki, has caused the New Jersey legislature to pass a law, which was signed by Governor Chris Christie on this past Monday, which limits the amount that... a university or a state school can spend on a public speaker, because she had gotten much more than evidently the legislature thought she should get. The new law puts a $10,000 cap on the amount of state money that can be spent on speakers.
I guess the Obamas will never speak again.
Right. But it only applies to state money. And most of the universities spend on speakers money that's
from
given
grants
to
and
grants
stuff.
Right. Or from alumni or something like that.
Mm.
But it was inspired because she was paid $32,000 that was collected from student fees to speak at Rutgers in 2011. That was $2,000 more than Nobel Prize winning author Toni Morrison received to speak at a commencement ceremony. What are people doing taking money to speak at commencement ceremonies to begin with?
I don't know.
The Rutgers is paying this year actor and musician Steven Van Zandt, no relation to Ronnie Van Zandt of the Lynyrd Skynyrd Group, $35,000 to address graduates today. At Rutgers, he was paid $35,000. What is he doing getting $35,000? Now, I'll say this for Obama. They offered Obama $35,000 to speak there when he gave an immense commencement address, but he turned it down.
Yeah, it wasn't enough money for him.
Yeah, that was chump change.
I mean, why get $32,000 when you can get $2.3 million?
That's why these tuitions are so sky high.
It's ridiculous. And by the way, speaking of commencement addresses— did either one of you catch President Trump's commencement address yesterday morning at Liberty?
I did.
I mean, it was a great commencement address.
It was very powerful.
Inspirational. 50,000 people were there, packed the place. They all loved him.
And he didn't pay get paid a nickel.
Not a nickel. And by the way, Notre Dame is usually the college where the newly elected president first gives a commencement address. President Trump once again broke the mold and spoke at Liberty University. And he encouraged the students to be outsiders because he said it's the outsiders who change the world.
Well, I love that.
Liberty is a Christian university.
Founded by Jerry Falwell.
Right. And so they're already outsiders.
In a way.
Oh, yeah.
But what he was doing, he was encouraging them. He says, and don't be afraid of, you know, if you are criticized by people, just let it, you know, go off your back. Take it as a sign that you're doing the right thing and keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Don't become a maverick like John McCain.
And he also said that it's easy for people to be critics, you know, and it's hard for people to be the outsider because you will be criticized. He said outsiders all throughout history, the common theme is that they are relentlessly criticized. And in a subtle way, he was addressing what's happening to him.
Exactly.
So it was a fantastic commencement address. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to Google it and find it.
I will be posting that on our Facebook page as well.
Right. And there's a quote that he said in there, too, that's gotten a lot of traction. And he said, we don't worship government. We worship God.
That was powerful.
Right. This guy, he's
just alienated half of the country with that statement.
Well, no, they alienated themselves.
That's right.
He's trying to be a good man.
He is a good man.
And he's doing a good job of it. And he deserves our respect. He deserves our support. And most importantly of all, he deserves our prayers every day. Every day, he deserves our prayers. We're going to wrap it up right there. Don't forget, Mark Walters, Armed American Radio, coming up next. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.